And now, our feature presentation.
Come on, how about a nice little smoochy smoochy kissy kissy? You know you can't resist me.
Stop it, horn dog. I want to see this.
You want to fight? You better believe you got one!
Be careful what you find, Alex. You might not like what you see.
Oh my God. You actually did it.
You activated the Great Reset! You maniacs! You blew it up! Damn you! Damn you all to hell!
The Alex Jones Show. The most banned broadcast on the planet.
That was awesome!
It was okay, I guess. Can we f*** now?
Reality starts here. AlexJonesLive.com. Share the link. Spread the word.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal.
Wake up, the regulars are coming. Wake up and be a free man or liberty dies tonight.
You may all go to hell. I'm going to Texas.
And when you're gone, you're locked your ass.
The only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
I appeared before the Congressional Committee, the highest representation of the American people, under subpoena to tell what I knew of activities, which I believe might lead to an attempt to set up a fascist dictatorship.
Remember the character of the onslaught against us.
Attack rapidly, ruthlessly, viciously, without rest. Kick, punching.
We must also be alert to the equal and opposite danger that public policy could itself become the captive of a scientific, technological elite.
I do not shrink from this responsibility. I welcome it.
I have a dream that my poor little children one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character.
The media is the most powerful entity on earth. They have the power to make the innocent guilty and to make the guilty innocent.
You know, someone very profoundly once said many years ago that if fascism ever comes to America, it'll come in the name of liberalism.
From my cold, dead hands.
If you want to come and take them.
1776 will commence again if you try to take our firearm.
1776! They have declared war on us, and we accept the challenge! We're taking the country back!
From the front lines of the information war, it's Alex Jones at AlexJonesLive.com. You are the Paul Revere's. Share the links and spread the word. We've only just begun to fight.
And now, our feature presentation.
And now, meet the star of our show. Jones is back. Bigger.
We love you, Alex!
Stronger. Louder. Reality starts here. AlexJonesLive.com. Share the link. Spread the word.
What happened to the gay frogs?
You promised me they would be here! I want to see the gay frogs!
You are never satisfied.
Let
ladies and gentlemen, Bigley has launched an online pharmacy, 1776rx.health. It's one product we're launching with, my decision, and that is ivermectin with benzidol, both powerful, really good anti-parasitics. It doesn't just get the big worms and all the crap that's out there. It's amoebas, it's microplasms. It is so important. These two together, I mean, ivermectin is a Nobel Prize winning for this, but benzidol is the big one. And folks, it isn't just parasites. Just search benzidol studies. Just put that into a search engine and you'll see congressional hearings. You'll see top scientists. You'll see all the studies on what else it does that they don't want you to know about. It's dramatic. So, and you won't know if you had any type of parasitical deal or whatever until you've done this. And a lot of people went there yesterday. A lot of people got it. Very smart move. 1776rx.health.
You're watching The War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now on X.com. Annihilate.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to The War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, coming to you live on the Alex Jones Network, alexjoneslive.com. Hope you're following us on X at AJNLive. At Real Alex Jones, I'm at Harrison H. Smith. Big show for you today. Lots of videos to get to. And I did the thing where I held over a bunch of stuff because yesterday I had so much news, just too much news, and held some over for today. And then of course you forget that you're going to get another big truckload of news. So I thought maybe I'd start today just by breezing through some of the articles from yesterday before we get to the breaking news today, including some updates to the Iran war. If we want to start with that, this is how confusing it all is, right? From alexjoneslive.com, U.S. fires on ship attempting to break Iran blockade amid several regional maritime attacks. What does that mean? What are you talking about? You know, this is from Kellen McBreed. I don't doubt that this is true. I'm not questioning the veracity of the headline. I'm questioning what the hell's going on here. The U.S. is firing on a ship that's attempting to break the Iran blockade. So that's our blockade on Iran. Again, it's just this entire war is just incomprehensible. It's like the Strait of Hormuz has to be open, but also we're shutting it. Okay, great. What does that mean? What does any of this mean? It means we lost the war. What that means is that we lost the war, actually. Gulf states accept a new normal in Hormuz. Iran is in control. So these are the headlines from yesterday that we can get to. And this is a video, and it's a pretty powerful video. But just the headline alone is enough to tell you what's going on in the world. Christian migrant from Iran warns U.S. will regret allowing Sharia Muslims into the country. A self-described Sharia law survivor from Iran issued a stern message at a recent city council meeting, warning residents of to be wary of welcoming Muslims practicing Sharia law after they overtook his country and murdered his friends. Speaking out in opposition to a proposed Islamic center in McKinney, Texas, city council meeting, the man described how the Islamic invasion of Iran wiped out the country's former Christian identity. I'm a Sharia law survivor from Iran. I'm here to tell you this is a dangerous ideology you're allowing in your country, said the man named Eresa. Now, it wasn't just Iran. You might not know this because history doesn't teach this because it's designed to exclude certain historical narratives that are inconvenient to the current political paradigm. But everywhere in the Middle East used to be Christian. Iran used to be Christian. Palestine used to be Christian. Lebanon was Christian until the 1980s. Syria was Christian. One of the first churches ever existed in Syria. All of these places were Christian once. Turkey, back when it was the Byzantine Roman Empire, was the Christian empire. It was the capital of the Christian empire, founded by the first Christian emperor and home to the main church before it was taken over by the Muslims in cahoots, by the way, with the Catholics. We can get into that if we want, but it's a good reminder that all of these places were Christian at one point. Now, Iran in particular was run by a, you know, quote-unquote secular or just like not Muslim extremist king for a while, but he was a puppet that was put there by basically British Petroleum and American, and the American CIA. And then he was overthrown by Khomeini, who did turn it into a Muslim country and really kickstarted the very concept of, you know, like radical Muslim governance. Sort of an interesting history, because originally, like things like the Palestinian resistance movement were not Muslim in character. They were like a nationalistic movement, which is why Israel saw fit to fund things like Hamas, because they thought it would discredit or help weaken the more nationalistic, more secular PLO in favor of a more hardline, religiously influenced, funded by Iran series of proxies that Iran was going through. It's an interesting history, but the fact is all of these places, and some until very recently, were in fact majority Christian. And many of these places, and practically everywhere America goes to war, the primary outcome tends to be Christians being eradicated from that area. But moving on, we have this, again from today, alexjoneslive.com. Walmart accused of collecting customers' voice prints. A group of Walmart customers allege that the retail giant broke the Illinois biometric privacy law by purportedly recording voice prints via phone calls to the store. According to the class action complaint, unbeknownst to consumers such as plaintiffs and class members, however, when consumers call into a Walmart customer service line, Walmart creates a voice print or biometric identifier which can be used to identify them in the future. Specifically, when the call connects, Walmart's artificial intelligence system records the audio and isolates the speaker's vocal characteristics. The AI then measures the physical and behavioral identifiers of a person's voice, such as pitch, cadence, tone, and frequency spectrums, which enable Walmart to build a unique mathematical template of the caller's voice. The question is why? Why would they do this? What would be the point of this? It says to prevent fraud when the user and the template fail to match. So I guess Walmart is getting prank phone calls from people pretending to be other people. I don't really buy it, but just know when our, well, it can go either way, but when our liberties and freedoms guaranteed by the Constitution are eradicated in this country, will almost certainly be by corporations doing so at behest, of course, of the wider sort of de facto corporate global government. But it's a nice little workaround. It's a nice little workaround when your Constitution precludes the government from doing certain things. You can just have Walmart do them for you. Isn't that convenient? There's the class action suit right there. All right, so let's just do like a little run through of some of the stuff that's broken over the last few days. California City declares state of emergency after cyber attack on computer systems. The city council for Suisun City declared a state of emergency Saturday after a cyber attack forced the municipality to shut down its information technology network. The attack affected the communication operations of the fire and police departments in Northern California City, including the routing of 911 calls. Suisun City officials said in a statement that the attack posed no imminent threat to the public and that all public safety services remained active. The computer network was shut down to contain the threat and preserve evidence for a federal investigation. This attack is believed to be the first of its kind in a city of 30,000 located 55 miles north of San Francisco, as the threat of cybersecurity disruptions of essential services in local communities across the country grows. And they're going to blame a lot of this on Iran, probably. There have been a series of attacks, something like 30 attacks against critical infrastructure around America just in the last week or so, including water treatment plants and other places around the country. These could be probing attacks, just testing our defenses, seeing what the bad actors can get away with. Of course, the beauty in the minds of the bad guys of cyber attacks is that they're very easily masked and false flagged and made to look like it's coming from a source that's not where it's coming from. We saw this with some of the Snowden leaks, their ability to mask intrusions in cyberspace by using, you know, fragments of Russian language or Chinese language seemingly left by accident, but in fact red herring to drive people away from the fact that it was the American government or somebody else that we're supposed to trust actually carrying out these attacks against us. It's the type of attack that you really can't, unless you are, I mean, it just when it comes to cyberspace and digital, it's really hard to tell who's doing anything. Yeah, possibly backed by Iran-backed hackers. Could be. And here's the thing. Either this is not Iran and it's a false flag sort of operation, as we've been expecting for a while and waiting for a while, which would not be exactly surprising, or it really is Iran, in which case, once again, I'd say this is us, America, exposing ourselves to a danger and a threat that we don't need to. We have absolutely no need to be at war with Iran at all. But here we are, and so, of course, we're probably going to get blowback. That tends to happen when you start a war. They tend to fight back, and Americans can't expect to be waging wars overseas forever and never have it come back home in any way. Trump blames the Minnesota governor, not Iran, for cyber attacks on the state's water system. Because that's the other thing, is that 99% of the problems that we talk about on this show are fabricated by our own government or our own people. They don't actually exist, right? The flooding of the border, any of this stuff, the transgender nonsense, like it's not real, it's fabricated. It's an attack, right? This isn't a hurricane, it's not a flood, it's not anything like that. It's fabricated. However, in the case of there actually being disasters, threats, foreign actors trying to do damage to us, it would be pretty nice if we could get our priorities sorted out. It'd be nice if we hadn't deliberately excluded a gigantic class of perfectly capable people from our industries. Maybe they could help shore up some of the security. Maybe if we weren't seemingly dedicated entirely and obsessed with, like, ethnically replacing every white person in America, maybe if we focused instead on just doing basic stuff and upkeeping our infrastructure and upgrading our electricity grid and just doing all of this, like, normal stuff that a country should be spending its money on instead of spending billions of dollars in war overseas. Sorry, let me correct myself. Trillions of dollars in wars overseas and hundreds of billions of dollars bringing Somalis over here so they can rob us. If we had focused just a percentage of that time and effort and resources on shoring up things here, we would have no problems. Unfortunately, we didn't make that choice. We made the other choice. So now, if Iran did want to hack in and destroy our infrastructure, probably wouldn't be that difficult. If China wanted to do it, they probably just have to open up the console command for the back door that they insert into the infrastructure that we have them build for some reason. So again, it's like the choices in the past and the choices that we continue to make are genuinely making us unsafer. I see a pretty distinct connection between those two things, just like a connection between the importation of 100 million foreigners into our country. That's going to cause house prices to go up. Do you understand? Are you, you know, able to understand my voice? Because that's about the level of intelligence you need to understand the cause and effect of importing 100 million people and house prices going up. But what about importing 100 million third worlders and cutting off white guys because of their race? That's going to make us less safe. Okay, do we understand? Meanwhile, Iran has completely ruled out any future negotiations with the Trump administration, declaring it will wait out Trump's term until January 20th, 2029, when per Iranian outlets and Ghalibaf advisors post, quote, Trump will not reach an agreement with us. We will accompany him until his term ends. He posted, quote, the path to victory is neither fighting nor a deal. It is managing the process of neither war nor peace up to the point of victory. Publicly confirming negotiations with the U.S. is sheer folly. The winning approach is denial, ambiguity, and strategic patience. Iran's conditions remain unchanged. $300 billion in compensation, release of frozen assets, and withdrawal of U.S. forces. Until then, the strait stays closed. So again, as we talk about the Iran war, and we'll get into more of it later in the show, just from the Iranian perspective, they're winning and they've got no motivation to do anything other than sit back and let Trump flap in the wind and basically just get routinely and repeatedly embarrassed by the Israelis in everything that he tries to do. Again, from New York Times, Iran insists strait will stay closed until U.S. agrees to demands. Then we have a little breakdown here of who's actually in charge. It's from Ann Vandersteel. Who's actually in charge, she asks. President Trump puts forward a U.S.-backed peace plan for Gaza. Benjamin Netanyahu publicly rejects it. Read that again. The United States supplies Israel with billions of dollars in military assistance, weapons, diplomatic cover, intelligence cooperation, and enormous geopolitical support. Yet Washington presents a peace plan and Israel says no. Netanyahu says Israeli forces will not withdraw from Gaza until Hamas is fully disarmed. Israel will determine the terms. Israel will determine the timetable. Israel will determine what happens next. So Americans need to ask a very uncomfortable question. Who is driving U.S. foreign policy in the Middle East? The American taxpayers keep writing the checks. The American military carries the risk. The American people absorb the consequences. Yet the United States cannot dictate terms to one of the largest recipients of American support. It's not leadership. This is not sovereignty. This is a foreign policy relationship Americans have every right to scrutinize. America first means America first. Not Ukraine, not Israel, not NATO, not the global war machine first. The United States should never bankroll policies it cannot control and wars the American people never authorized. Follow the money, follow the weapons, follow the policy, then ask again, who's really in charge? Netanyahu's rejection was reported on August 9th, 2026, in a rare public break with Trump over the Gaza plan. Because they don't want the Gaza plan. They want to take over Gaza and kill or expel everyone there. They want to send Gazans and all Palestinians into Europe so they can turn Europe into a Muslim hellhole. And once Israel's done with Iran, they'll set their sights on Turkey, and Turkey will activate all of its European terror networks inside European countries to go completely insane. And basically Europe is going to be destroyed in between these two forces, which is very pathetic because Europe is stronger than both and could put both down, but refuses to live up to its destiny. Very unfortunate. From Hormuz's letter on X, Trump has privately admitted defeat and told CNN, but let me just while we're at it. I mean, this type of stuff, it's like, all right, you know, maybe 3 years ago was the time to like start questioning the line. At this point, these types of questions, I mean, is the sky blue? Is the grass green? Is Israel controlling America? I mean, come on. It's not that complicated. It is that ridiculous. It is worthy of revolution, absolutely. But we don't need to pretend like this is a question anymore. Trump has privately admitted defeat and told senior aides he is willing to end the Iran war without a nuclear deal if Iran fully reopens the Strait of Hormuz, a retreat from his initial unconditional surrender demand, per Wall Street Journal. Trump has been laying the groundwork to declare victory based solely on Hormuz reopening, walking away from his initial promise to decimate Iran's nuclear program. However, Iran has raised its price for reopening the Strait in the form of new demands, effectively turning what Trump hoped would be his exit into a full U.S. surrender document. Those demands include that $300 billion in compensation, the release of up to $100 billion in frozen assets, lifting all sanctions, U.S. troop withdrawal from the entire region, an end to the naval blockade, and accepting transit fees on every ship. U.S. officials say Trump is desperately searching for an exit, with the only viable option being the Strait of Hormuz. Iran, however, has made it even that impossible unless Trump surrenders on all of his demands, or surrenders to all of their demands. Do you remember like a day after the invasion started? Do you remember what I called it? Do you remember that I said that I didn't know how exactly it would unfold and I'd be happy to be surprised? I would be thrilled if in a week we were done. If this was another redo of Operation Midnight Hammer, which at the time was extremely upsetting, being the one thing I thought Trump would know to avoid direct confrontation with Iran. However, it, you know, Midnight Hammer. As much as I still don't like it, as much as I still am not in favor of what we did, as much as it was the time at that point to sound the alarm and say, we've got to change the direction before this completely squanders all of Trump's ambitions in the second administration. Maybe we should have been a little bit more vociferous about that argument, even though we were and people just didn't listen to us. And now they blame us for what's happened in the ensuing 9 months. And are still blaming us, even though they're still not listening to us and we're still right about this whole thing. But, you know, if it had been that the day after, 2 days after, right, the attack began on Saturday, on Monday, I did a show. I said I would love for this to be over in a couple days and prove me wrong. But I think that the attack on Iran starting this war was maybe the worst mistake anybody has ever made in history. And I'm standing by that. I still don't think there has ever been a bigger mistake, a bigger screw up, a bigger unforced error. I remember it was like the day after, and it was like all Trump had to do was not hit the big red war with Iran button. Literally anything else. We might be upset. We might be anxious and impatient and wanting him to do more. But the only thing he had to not do, the only way to guarantee his second administration was an abject failure, was to hit the big red war with Iran button, and he freaking hit it. He hit it for some reason. No need. No, not necessary. You know, whether it was Epstein blackmail being held over his head or what. Yeah, I'm not going to name names, so I was told by somebody close to Donald Trump that Trump thinks Israel will kill him to get a ground invasion of Iran. People thought that was serious. No, that was memeing. That was a meme, since it was the same, you know, thing that I said about Charlie Kirk. And we'll get to the Trump assassination thing in just a second, but it's the same thing as ever. Like, we've been talking about this since 2024. Since the Butler assassination and Trump being like, we think it was Iran, and all the way back then, you know, we just got a new transcript thing. Maybe we can search that up. Look for a time in 2024, the second half of 2024, when we talked about Trump blaming Iran for wanting to assassinate him. Because all the way back then, we were saying, Israel wants the war with Iran. Israel wants to blame Iran for starting the war. If anybody's going to kill Trump to get what they want, it's Israel. Sorry, I might have messed that up. Israel wants war with Iran. Israel can get what they want if they kill Donald Trump. Why he would set it up that way, I couldn't possibly explain. This is one of those things that, you know, everything Trump does, you can interpret in opposite ways. Literally everything. And I'm open to the suggestion. Like, it might be that he is, because as we've said since, I've been saying this since 2016 when he first got elected, that Trump is a ninja. That might sound crazy. But if you know the history of what ninjas were, they, you know, operated in secret. They were a secret faction operating against the people in power at the time. So they had to develop methods of operating that they could do it literally directly under the noses of the samurai, the ruling class. So they had to actually, everything they did had to be done with the approval of their enemies. Imagine that situation. Imagine, you know, you're Donald Trump, and maybe you really are America first. Maybe you really do see a problem with Israeli influence destroying our country, but you know that you have to act in a way, in a manner that looks as though, and so you can look at stuff, you can look at almost anything. Like, Trump comes out and says, President of Israel, you have to pardon Bibi Netanyahu. And of course we see this and we're just like, seriously, Trump, really? Do you have to go out of your way to humiliate yourself? Do you have to just, on a random Tuesday, just remind everybody that you're still BB's bitch? Like, is this really necessary? That would be the surface level interpretation. But there's also the perfectly valid, I think, supposition, interpretation that, hey, maybe he wants the war to end and he thinks Netanyahu keeps this going so he doesn't have to go to trial. Can you just pardon him so he's not under threat of trial, so he stops perpetuating this war so we can end it already? Can you please pardon Bibi Netanyahu so we can stop doing this war? I don't know if that's true. I don't necessarily think that's true. But almost everything Trump does can be interpreted in this way. And it makes it just impossible to, again, get your hands around what's actually happening and what's actually motivating anybody. But I think he's been, you know, largely humiliated. He is looking for an exit. We don't have one. And all we can possibly hope for is that we pay a huge chunk of money to return to slightly less than the status quo. Remember, status quo pre-war, straight was open, no tolls, nothing. Now we're just possibly hoping against hope we can pay them $300 billion and they can charge a fee for everybody who goes through. More on the other side. Stay with us.
A microscopic tag be implanted in a person's body to track his every movement. There's actual discussion about that.
And often they're things you don't know what to do with. UBOs, they're called unidentified bright objects.
Can brain scans be used to determine whether a person is inclined toward criminality or violent behavior?
Who's got the brain that's going to be most susceptible to a particular kind of manipulation?
So the point is, they've been obsessed with this. It's going on. The COVID shots implanted the matrix, graphene oxide to grow. It's now being scanned. It's now being read. They were putting chips in the troops 30 years ago. The revolution's already here, is what you're saying, Jesse Beltran.
These are just chips on a size that you can no longer see. They're nano-sized. One's 2,000 times the width of a human hair. The graphene oxide, the silicon-based materials that have been in, we know for a fact that they were in the mRNA. We know that Dr. Ido Bachelet signed a contract with Pfizer in 2015 when he did that TEDMed talk with a trillion robots in a 1cc syringe, and how he teaches his students how to, once they're in a host, how to control them with RF emissions.
And you heard Colin saying 21 years ago that, oh, yeah, when we're doing scans, we find all these chips, these bright objects, ha, 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 wonder who put them there. But as you said, you've been doing this 20 years, and about 10 years ago, you began to go away, not seeing chips anymore, but just liquid emulsion nanotech. Here you are 6 months ago or more scanning me. Let's go to Alex Jones getting scanned.
So if you put that camera in there, you see how it says probably silicone? That means it's an electronic component. And it's not unusual to find that in the posterior ear area.
So wait, I got a higher reading than him?
No, his was higher than yours.
Okay,
yeah.
That's good.
Yeah, but you did get a positive reading there. So you are getting the you know, base of the neck is what we typically see. Scapula area. What we're finding is after post-COVID, this is very typical. We're completely bombarded by this stuff.
From your own research, there are compounds naturally in nature that just do absolutely incredible things that will draw out these type of things. But you guys have come up with one with scientists that adds these special sea minerals in that then even drags it out even more. And so I have been taking this, the dreams I've had, my skin, my health. What it's done is absolutely insane. Get Masterpiece.com. Matt Hazen, tell us what this does, and people can get 10% off when they follow the URL, getmasterpiece.com, or use promo code Alex when you're there on the site, because this is really special.
Zeolite is an incredible mineral that is known as what's called the master binder, and what that means is it's known to pick up every type of forever chemical, toxin, toxic heavy metal there is, including fluoride. So when you see charcoal or carbon or clays for binders, you don't see that they will pick up fluoride. Zeolite's different. Zeolite also gets the fluoride. That's a very big deal. It is great at removing these environmental toxins from our body. Masterpiece is the highest grade sea mineral plasma solution. It is basically isotonic, the same mineral composition as your blood plasma. So the sea minerals are being carried in by the nanometer, sub-nanometer size clinoptilolite zeolite. And once the toxin hits the zeolite, it releases and displaces the mineral. People don't feel bad. There's no normal detoxing reaction.
Everybody needs to go to getmasterpiece.com. You get 10% off by using that URL automatic when you go. There's promo code Alex as well. Getmasterpiece.com.
Welcome back, folks. My point in that last part was, you know, you can interpret just about everything Trump does in different ways, depending on your perspective or what you want to believe or what you do believe is actually going on. But when Donald Trump comes out and says, Iran is trying to assassinate me, if I get assassinated, it was Iran, nuke them, essentially, is what he said multiple times in the past, there's no interpreting that as 4D chess, because he says it publicly. And then if he were to be killed, that's what, you know, the media would go with, and that's what people would rally behind. So he's literally, it's like putting a big sign on his forehead. It says, "Dear Israel, killing me gets you everything you ever wanted. Murder me and everything you've ever wanted is yours." The only thing that could possibly, you know, alter that outcome would be if we beforehand let everybody know, if anything happens, Donald Trump, we're blaming Israel. Okay? You thought the Charlie Kirk assassination? I mean, there's actually some stuff to base it on that. we're going to blame Israel. Okay, I'm just letting you know right now. I just want Israel to know they are incentivized to not murder our president, because we're going to blame them 100%. It's going to go terribly for them. I really want them to know that and believe it. But obviously, Trump is very worried about his safety right now. The story from today was that he snuck off of Air Force One in a box. He was packed away in a box, like a chicken dinner, put on a catering cart, and shuffled off to an Air Force, like troop transport plane, and scurried out of Turkey. Trump reportedly hid in a catering container to board a secret flight to Turkey amid Iran threat. A little bit humiliating, I have to say. And we can tell you about that in just a second. But again, I don't think Iran would benefit from this at all. It is the type of thing that would happen, because we've seen this happen many, many times in the past. Do we remember the Syrian Civil War and Obama saying, we will not get into the Syrian Civil War unless they use chemical weapons? And then a week later, they quote unquote used chemical weapons in an attack that the official, you know, chemical weapon monitoring station at the UN declared was a false flag attack and never actually happened. And they did it multiple times, including when Trump was president. But it's just that typical thing where it's like, the one thing you shouldn't do is this one thing, and then they happen to do that one thing. I don't buy it. I don't buy it. Iran is winning this war. They have us on the ropes. I mean, they're not conquering us, but we have nothing to offer them at this point. They do hold all the cards. They're holding us straight, if you will. They have no incentive to kill President Trump at all. I think their current plan of we're just going to wait out Donald Trump is probably going to work. It's probably going to work. The only thing that would guarantee boots on the ground, the only thing that could possibly bring Americans together to actually want this war in Iran. Well, there's two things. They could kill Donald Trump, and then it really doesn't matter what anybody else says. I mean, we're going to blame Israel, but the powers that be will just blame Iran and, you know, rally everybody to war, and the vast majority of normies will just go along with it because they're scared. Or a massive false flag terror attack with like an entire city's downtown being wiped out with a dirty nuke or something like that, suitcase bomb. That something so overwhelmingly traumatic would also basically destroy people's ability to think straight and use fear to get us to go along with it. But, you know, other than that, Iran is in a pretty good place right now. So why they would want to kill President Trump is really beyond me. And yet not only is he skipping to the next plane, and like the dude's got to be actually afraid, because it's a pretty long flight he's taking. And Air Force One's pretty damn comfortable. From what's been reported, I guess he apparently went on a troop transport, which probably doesn't have the king size bed and the movie theater and whatever else that Air Force One do. So for Trump to take a long flight on a troop transport, you probably had to actually be convinced that there was a threat there. But that's not the only example. U.S. President Donald Trump was seen golfing at his Bedminster, New Jersey club with a missile defense system deployed nearby, as F-16s were scrambled to intercept civilian aircraft that entered the temporarily restricted airspace over the area. In response to this from S2 Underground on X, he says, while I generally appreciate aggressive counterterrorism methods and an abundance of caution, it is pretty concerning that our nation's leadership requires missile defenses and AWACS during ad hoc trips around the United States that only take a few hours. I'm not saying it's not needed. I'm saying that if it is needed, we've got a problem. The increasingly more significant methods we've been having to use within the homeland are not exactly indicative of a stable situation, and one might call this an indication and warning of how serious things are on the international stage. The Avenger missile defense system is not for drone defense, it's for shooting down aircraft. Going a step further, I would argue that the strategic situation right now is more serious than it was during the height of the Cold War, and very few people seem to even notice. And in addition to that, there's obviously a election coming up in Israel, where Benjamin Netanyahu is not looking so great specifically because of his inability to get America to fully commit to Israel's designs for the Middle East, including boots on the ground destruction of Iran, turning it into a failed state. But we got problems everywhere. Spy cameras on Navy drones secretly sent to China, secretly sent data to China. This is from the UK. Royal Navy spy drones used by Britain's elite special forces secretly sent data to China, Telegraph can reveal. The cameras on the K-3 scout surveillance drones had components made in China, which were secretly transmitting information to a device in that country. The Royal Marines have been using the $12 million fleet since March, and the Ministry of Defense was forced to remove all internet connectivity from the cameras after discovering the breach. The revelation raises fears that Beijing has been attempting to spy on Britain's military after years of security warnings about the threat from the country. The drones were supplied by a major British contractor, Kraken Technology Group, which then sourced the cameras from a third party who'd given assurances about their security.
Oh, it's totally secure. Oh, you trust us, Mr. Britain man. It's very secure. Nobody get in here.
Well, I guess I'll trust you. We can't make them ourselves. We've completely abandoned our greatness and sold out our industry, and we're now basically babysitting a bunch of third world barbarians. So I guess we've no choice but to go to China for our special operations.
Just what are we doing? Just what are we doing here exactly? You're buying spy parts from China and you're surprised that they're spying on you? Maybe you should have not abandoned your manufacturing. Like, maybe you shouldn't have given China all of the manufacturing in the Western world as part of your asinine global design in the mid-90s. I don't know. Maybe. Meanwhile, also in Europe, hundreds arrested over French wildfires, but who's to blame? It's kind of a weird headline. What do you mean, but who's to blame? You mean the people starting the fire? What? I don't get it. It's like, after wildfires caused more damage in France this year than any other time in World War II, many are asking the simple question, why? Why? Whatever could it be? Why, it must be climate change, of course. It's getting old. I thought it was funny back like 4 years ago. When people kept blaming wildfires on climate change and we kept making the joke that there was some blue-haired dude with gauges in his ear and he's like, I changed my name to climate change. First name climate, last name change. So yeah, these fires were started by climate change. These fires were started by climate change, aka me, a homeless dude with a bottle of gasoline and a lighter. Of course, in France, it would be probably the Muslims. And again, like, so much stuff. I feel like we're stuck in like a time warp. Like, can we not go back to 2022 and look at when wildfires were racking California and we spent like weeks covering documents from the left and from ISIS and from all these terrorist organizations that were like using wildfires as a war for liberation from the white imperialists and like actually instructing people how to start fires and how to get away with it. Are we supposed to act like we're all stupid and don't know what's actually going on here? A major driver is that climate is changing as a result of well-documented way humanity is burning fossil fuels. Temperatures are only rising. It's not helped by the fact that 9 out of 10 wildfires were started by humans. The government in Paris is trying to attribute blame, although itself is accused of being underprepared for the infernos that have now scorched more than 300,000 acres this summer. The Interior Ministry has announced 420 arrests of people alleged to have either started the fires deliberately or by accident. Among them are 166 minors. In one case, a 23-year-old man has been accused of deliberately starting 10 fires in the space of 5 days in the southeastern Var area last month. He faces 15 years in prison and a €150 fine if convicted. I'd like to know his name. I'd like to know if his name is French or not, personally. I'm amazed at the number of arrests. It feels excessive, admits Muriel Gestas, a lawyer who represents several people accused of arson, including two firefighters. She doubts many will lead to a conviction. But tell you what, if you're arresting 420 people for starting those fires, let's say a good quarter of them are false accusations. I don't think they are. I don't think they'd be arrested if they didn't have good reason, but I think it's a pretty sizable yet still reasonable amount. That still means there's 300 plus people arrested for deliberately starting fires in your country in a very short amount of time, all over the place. I bet they're in coordination. It sounds like an attack. Sounds like an attack is what you're dealing with. But we have to filter this through the mind virus of the leftist, which basically has to be wrong about everything. It has a predilection to falseness just in every realm. And so, you know, they see that 420 people arrested. The normal person would go, oh my God, this is an attack. That's not a coincidence. You don't get 420 people all starting fires all across the country, all in a short time period. As a coincidence, this is an attack. Clearly, this is motivated by some sort of organized attack against France. But the leftist, who has to congenitally be wrong about absolutely everything, sees that and goes, wow, that's a lot of arrests. It sounds like they're arresting like way too many people. It sounds like maybe this is like a little bit of a crazy reaction to like some forest fire. So they just, you know, they got to be wrong about everything. Same thing happens in Canada, obviously. Now I want to talk about Flock. What the Flock? These flocking cameras that we have to deal with everywhere. This is also one of these things, just like the war in Iran. I mean, it's exhausting, but just understand where we are, that like, there is no good reason for these things. They are not being used effectively. They will not be used effectively. They're not going to lower the crime rate to any substantial degree, except and unless they feel the need to show some sort of usefulness so they can get everything else that they want, which is permanent, constant, perpetual surveillance of everybody all the time. And what that does to your mindset, what that does psychologically to you, knowing that in your house, driving to the store, that you are being logged and tracked, and that somewhere on some file, and really in private files and public files and Amazon servers and Google servers, all networked and connected by a law enforcement hub where they get access to this stuff unrestricted and without warrants, it changes your behavior. It'll change the way you talk. It'll change your mindset. It'll change how you raise your children. It's not good. And the only possible argument for it is, oh, well, you don't want crime to go down. And yet we've seen Nayib Bukele and others have worse problems than we do, fixed it without Flock cameras. It's not necessary at all. But here's where it gets really stupid. Very, very stupid and dangerous is that you've got sort of a feedback loop where we've got very stupid and entitled criminals who think that because we have like the Fifth Amendment to protect against government abuses means that they should be able to lie with impunity and get away with everything, and that they, you know, and so they'll argue with the cops, and the cops in turn are sort of trained or sort of just naturally accustomed to just being like, shut the hell up, you're lying. Because that's, as a cop, I guarantee you're just being lied to all of the time in the most blatant ways with the most ridiculous objections. I'm sure. I guarantee that's what it's like. And so they have trouble adjusting when the person is actually legitimately being falsely accused. Because again, I don't even necessarily blame, I'm just recognizing like a human pattern here, that if a cop has spent 10 years like arresting people who are guilty, and yet every time he tries to arrest them, it's, oh my God, I'm crying, I can't breathe, you got the wrong guy, I can't believe you're doing that. And you just tune it out, right? At a certain point, you're just like, yeah, buddy, hands behind your back right now. But then along comes Flock, and suddenly you're getting what seemed to be the same type of, you know, warrants, the same type of direction saying, hey, go out and arrest this person. And so you're going there on the assumption that it's like your 10 years of experience based on solid evidence. And the person might say whatever they're going to say, but you know that you've got good evidence. Now they're being sent out with very, very poor evidence, totally misidentifying people. And yet they're acting like they found the person and the person's, you know, being ridiculous. And so you've got these stupid robot cops. Robotic, I mean, NPC type cops who like can't seem to get it through their mind that like they're pulling over a car that's supposed to be a stolen car from gangbangers, and it's like a grandma and her 3-year-old, and they're just like, hands behind your back, hands behind your back, get on the ground. And it's like, guys, chill out. Like, do you, can you not see there's some inconsistency here? That this isn't your typical suspect, that maybe something's gone wrong here, that the person is just like clearly a 45-year-old mom on her way to yoga just being like, what is happening? And they're just like, you're stolen car! This is a stolen car! And like these videos, that's genuinely what they're like, and we can go to some of them here. But the thing that like really kind of blows my mind about all of it, who steals a car and doesn't change the license plate? That's the thing that blows my mind. So they're pulling these people over, sometimes on the side of the highway, guns drawn, dangerous situations. Like, it's going to be it's a matter of time, probably a short time. I'd be surprised if it hasn't happened already. Someone's going to get, like, seriously hurt, injured. They're going to be thrown to the ground and crack their head on the sidewalk. Or they're going to reach for their phone and a cop's going to fill them with lead because they're like primed. They're thinking this is a typical arrest when really it's because some dumbass flock camera can't tell a one from an eye. And they're arresting some, you know, poor lady that doesn't know what the hell's going on. This is a disaster. This is like completely ridiculous. And at the end of the day, all you're doing is scanning license plates, and you have a database of license plates of stolen cars. And if you get a ping, you just assume that that's the stolen car and you're going to go arrest them. And then it turns out they can't even correctly identify license plates. Why would anybody who steals a car keep the license plate on? Why would they not just swap it with a different license plate? This is like the simplest thing ever. Like, so if what you're doing is using flock cameras to scan license plates for stolen cars, you're probably never going to find them. Because what criminal steals a car and then doesn't change the license plate? If nothing else, just pop the license plate off another car in the parking lot and pop it on yours. Go drive around in your stolen red Tahoe until you see another stolen red Tahoe and pop the plates off that, put it on yours. So I guess we're only going to capture the most retarded criminals with this. Criminals that steal cars and then just drive them around without changing anything on them, without replacing the license plate. Like, what? That's crazy. Do people not think about this? Let's go to clip 43 here. Brookfield police detained two people at gunpoint after outdated flock camera alerts linked their cars to a homicide. Let's watch.
Brookfield police with guns drawn pull over a car they say was flagged by flock cameras in connection to a homicide out of Milwaukee. Well, turns out this was all some sort of mishap with the flock camera systems. In fact, Brookfield police say they called Milwaukee police and MPD said they no longer needed the car or the people inside, so officers let them go. But, you know, this has really become a point of contention, flock cameras as a whole, as more reports of misuse by law enforcement across the country arise.
And there's a lot of examples, and whether it's a mistake or abuse or people accessing it from, you know, privately, however they want, looking, spying on, you know, kids at the splash pad. It's totally ridiculous. And this is this meme is fantastic, but it's still paints a better picture than actually exists. We can go to dot cam here. Flock safety tunnel vision. You've got, you know, all the things that come along with flock. It normalizes mass surveillance, mass location tracking, zero public oversight, illegal cross-agency data sharing, police database abuse, warrantless searches, public-private surveillance infrastructure, nationwide vehicle database, lockdown enforcement tech, searchable location histories, automated police flagging. I would add things like that, things like the fact that you can frame people very easily with it, that police and people who work at flock have been shown to be accessing cameras without permission for whatever reason, nefarious purposes that they never bother to explain. But the hyper focus, the tunnel vision is on one aspect, which is it catches criminals. But that's not really that true, is it? First of all, you're obviously catching a bunch of non-criminals, putting them in great danger, inconveniencing them and possibly ruining their lives if you actually take it to court. And we've seen this with videos with the cop going to the woman and being like, we have you on camera, you stole packages. And she's like, what the hell are you talking about? And they're like, don't even try. Don't even try. We've got you on camera. We've got you dead to rights. And they truly believe that they do. They have no idea what they're dealing with. They are literally treating this, the flock camera nonsense, bullcrap, algorithmic falsehood with like, hey, this is, I got a warrant. You know, they must have gone to a judge and, you know, identified this person and found where he is. And now I have a warrant. Like, they're treating as if it's gone through all the right processes, but it never has. And cops are literally too stupid to know the difference, unfortunately. So it's like, okay, the flock tunnel vision is on fighting crime. But for one thing, it identifies innocent people. For another thing, it doesn't actually do anything to stop the criminals. You still have to send out cops to track him down and arrest him. And when you do, half the time in a liberal city, you're sending him to a DA that doesn't even prosecute him. So all Flock is going to do is film the criminality, film the criminals committing assaults and murders, and then just, you know, you'll have a big, Rolodex. You know, you can provide every criminal with their own little profile where they can have full-fledged, high-definition camera footage of all of the various crimes they're not being punished for. But it gets so much worse. Obviously, Flock is now planning on using hundreds of thousands of dash cams as mobile license plate readers. Surveillance company Flock planned to use hundreds of thousands of dash cams as mobile license plate cameras using Lyft, Uber, and other delivery vehicles. According to a presentation seen by 404 Media, Flock was targeting a deal with Nexar, a company that makes dash cams for rideshare drivers, delivery drivers, commuters, and casual drivers. So you're going to have your security cameras, your Ring doorbell cameras, your dash cams, the Flock cameras, whatever satellite surveillance they have, your phone constantly pinging, being able to record and film video remotely. Full scale, total digital panopticon surveillance prison device, like everywhere, 100% of the time. They're building it, and they're building the data centers to parse the data so that they can bring about their paradigm of absolute and total control. And there is no argument for it. The only argument you could possibly make for it is that it fights crime, which we've seen it doesn't. And it certainly doesn't to a sufficient degree to offset all of the various negative aspects that we've just laid out. But it gets worse, and I'll bring you that in the next hour. I do want to tell you about a new product that we have at thealexjonesstore.com. And I have to say, I freaking love it. You know, there's some things when you're a kid, you're growing up, and you think you're too cool for some stuff. You know, you think your parents' music is lame, the movies they watch is not cool. And one of those things is fanny packs, you know? At least when I was a kid, fanny packs were not cool. They were not cool. As an adult, fanny packs are one of the most useful things ever. Where I love carrying fanny packs is at the airport, because you have to take all your stuff out of your pocket to go through the machine. And it's just easier if it's just all already in a fanny pack. You just pop it off, put it on the belt. There's lots of reasons to have a good fanny pack. Now, this fanny pack you might not want to take to the airport, because it's the fanny pack you carry your gun in. All right? It's a new fanny pack at thealexjonesstore.com. The Liberty Concealed Carry Pack. Absolutely awesome pack. It comes with five patches. Each one of these could sell for like $15, but you get five of them with the pack. An absolutely amazing deal for everybody that carries or not. Go now, thealexjonesstore.com.
At last, it's here. Bring it into the docking bay. Stack them all in my chambers at once. I now have all the AquaPure Ultimate Water Filter shower heads from the Alex Jones store.
There's something about this water I feel kind of funny. Hey, do you want to hang out tonight?
These stormtroopers are not warriors. They are vessels. We keep them full of chemicals to keep them under control. Like the dark side itself, it dulls the mind. It fractures the will.
Drink your water, troopers. I am sending you to the desert planet of Tatooine. We must crush the rebel force.
Dude, I think I'm gay. Me too. Let's go back to the Sith and cuddle. I thought you'd never ask.
Turn around now and get back out there. These are your orders.
They're turning the frogs gay. Don't let them turn you next. Ha ha ha.
you have to admit that Alex Jones is funny.
AlexJonesLive.com. Share the link. Spread the word.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Welcome back, folks. War Room Live is on. I'll take your calls in the third hour. Just taking a minute to talk about some of the developments of the flock cameras, which are just one aspect of a wider surveillance array. It's already fully in place in many cases. Again, we've been talking about this forever. Things like the Ring doorbell cameras run by Amazon, and they've had for a long time a direct access from law enforcement where they can go in and look at real-time video or recorded video without a warrant, without an explanation, anytime they want. It's a little bit troubling, but obviously the flock cameras are the next stage in development of the digital global panopticon. There were zero flock cameras in America when Donald Trump was inaugurated, or at least when he was elected, maybe over the last couple of months of winter. There were a few more. But now they're everywhere. Now there's hundreds of thousands of them, people fighting back and trying to chop them down. And we've been over the fact that the Supreme Court has explicitly said that, you know, its decision about you have no right to privacy on a public road does not include dragnet surveillance like this one does. And for obvious reasons, I will get to here in just a second. Flock linked to company that hacks cameras and secretly alters security footage from Slay News. Fresh concerns are being raised about the rapid expansion of America's AI-powered surveillance network after reports highlighted an alleged connection between a major investor in Flock Safety and an Israeli cybersecurity company capable of secretly hacking security cameras and altering video footage. The allegations have fueled fears that emerging surveillance technologies could one day be weaponized to fabricate evidence or conceal criminal activity. Flock Safety operates one of the nation's fastest growing automated license plate reader, ALPR networks, with tens of thousands of AI-powered cameras tracking vehicle movements across the United States. Meanwhile, Israeli cyber firm Toka, T-O-K-A, has developed technology that reportedly enables government clients to hack internet-connected security cams, monitor live video feeds, and even manipulate both live and previously recorded footage. The reported overlap has sparked intense debate online about the risk of combining mass surveillance with increasingly sophisticated cyber capabilities. According to Gadget Review, Bedrock Capital led Flock Safety's $275 million funding round. The outlet also examined claims circulating on social media alleging that Bedrock has ties to Toka. Bedrock Capital leads Flock Safety's round with alleged ties to Toka, which reportedly erases camera footage without a trace, and these connections draw scrutiny. However, Gadget Review noted that Flock's investors are well-documented. Publicly available evidence does not currently confirm whether those same investors also hold a stake in Toka. And apparently, Andreessen does. Andreessen Horowitz backs both Flock Safety and camera hacking firm Toka. Serving Andreessen Horowitz, which led Flock's $275 million funding round, has also backed Toka, an Israeli cyber intelligence company that has reportedly developed tools capable of breaking into connected cameras and manipulating their footage. The connection between the two companies, their shared investor, came to light after an ex post by Orwell Day alleged that Flock's lead investor also backed Toka. The post did not establish the connection on its own, but subsequent reporting confirmed that Andreessen Horowitz led Flock's 2025 funding round and has invested in Toka. A little concerning, isn't it? Then you've got this. Wisconsin cops tracked a man across state lines with Flock cameras to arrest him for weed. So basically they just filmed that he left a state where weed is not legal, went into a state where weed is legal, and then came back. And they're using that as evidence to arrest him for illegally transporting marijuana. In other words, the mere act of crossing a state line is being used as evidence to justify an arrest. That's kind of terrifying, if you ask me. We have an absolute and constitutional right for freedom of travel between the states. You cannot then use that travel to punish people for crimes using the travel alone and the crossing the border, the state border alone as all the evidence for the arrest. That's crazy. Gets worse, folks. They're now using AI to screen 911 calls in New Orleans. We'll get back to that and so much more news on the other side. Stay with us. It's The War Room. TheAlexJonesStore.com is how you support us. AlexJonesLive.com is where you find all these articles and videos and more. The Alex Jones.
Ladies and gentlemen, Big Lee has launched an online pharmacy, 1776RX.health. It's one product we're launching with my decision, and that is ivermectin with minbenazidil, both powerful, really good anti-parasitics. It doesn't just get the big worms and all the crap that's out there. It's amoebas, it's microplasms. It is so important. These two together, I mean, ivermectin is a Nobel Prize winning for this, but minbenazidil is the big one. And folks, it isn't just parasites. Just search minbenazidil studies. Just put that into a search engine and you'll see congressional hearings. You'll see top scientists. You'll see all the studies on what else it does that they don't want you to know about. It's dramatic. So, and you won't know if you had any type of parasitical deal or whatever until you've done this. And a lot of people went there yesterday. A lot of people got it. Very smart move. 1776RX.health.
Welcome back, folks. We'll move on from Flock now, but I feel like these stories have been piling up, and I wanted to get through all of them. So, yes, they're now going to start using dash cams in addition to the Ring doorbell cams, in addition to the Flock cameras that they're building. All the information, of course, will be parsed in the massive data centers that they're building without permission. They're now using, also, Flock is tied in with and has common investors with an Israeli cybersecurity company whose entire purpose, I guess, is being able to hack into and alter the video of these exact cameras. And then you have from Gizmodo, Wisconsin cops tracked a man across state lines with Flock cameras to arrest him for weed. Per the report, the cops looked up his license plate and found that he, quote, travels to Michigan frequently. Well, that's an arrestable defense right there. Traveling to Michigan frequently? There's only one reason to do that. Marijuana. Of course, they couldn't prove the cameras, they couldn't prove that by the cameras alone that he was going to Michigan to buy weed, but apparently just going across state lines is enough to create suspicion. In a criminal complaint filed by police against the man, they called the Michigan a, quote, known source state for marijuana as it is legal there. Yeah. That was apparently enough of a pretext for police to act. They made a coordinated effort to intercept his vehicle. They pulled him over, and the arresting officer claimed to have detected the odor of what he knew to be raw marijuana coming from inside the vehicle. Is this the type of criminal activity that we need a panopticon global surveillance grid to deal with? People buying weed where it is legal and going to where it's not yet? Notice they haven't put that same effort into literally any actual crime that matters. But just as a quick rundown here, there have been dozens of reports at this point of police using Flock's network to track former romantic partners. One cop in Florida used Flock to track and eventually pull over a woman he met days earlier and was attracted to. So isn't that nice? If a cop sees you and thinks you're good looking, he can just jot down your license plate and just follow you everywhere you go 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Isn't that nice? Doesn't that make you feel safe, ladies? Wisconsin law enforcement has been disproportionately weirdos about having access to Flock, or at least they've been disproportionately caught in the act. A Milwaukee cop resigned after it came to light that he looked up his ex's plate 179 times in 2 months. An officer in Menasha got placed on leave for monitoring his former partner's location via Flock cameras. In Kenosha, a cop resigned after an investigation found he was using Flock cameras to keep tabs on a coworker he had a, quote, personal relationship with. So do you feel safe yet? Again, it's like, okay, so Flock has all these bad things that come along with it. Okay, yeah, it destroys privacy. Yes, they're putting innocent people in very dangerous situations. Okay, yes, some cops are using them to spy on romantic partners or track women that they find attractive. Okay, yes, that's happening. Yes, we've seen examples of flock cameras inside children's gymnastics locations being used and accessed hundreds of times by flock employees, all of them men. Yes, okay, flock can be used, you know, abused in all these ways. It comes with all of this bad stuff. But in exchange for all that bad stuff, you can bust weed users, maybe. Maybe. Potentially. I mean, possibly. I mean, probably not. But it's a possibility, but it could happen, right? It could. And hey, if somebody steals a car and is too stupid to change the plates, you'll catch him. You'll catch the dumbest criminals and the lightest criminals. The ones committing things that should not be crimes. Stoners warned us about flock cameras. Turns out it wasn't paranoia from High Times. No, libertarians told you about flock cameras, and it wasn't paranoia. Yeah, so the crew's like, you just repeated yourself. Yes, libertarians, a.k.a. stoners, told you about it. True, very true. Let's go to clip number 21 here. It's going to be too long to play the whole thing, but this is a, you know, example of how this works. Police detain a couple with infant after license plate camera misreads one letter and falsely flags their vehicle as stolen. So let's go to clip 21 here. And you can see, luckily, this one, you know, was one of the calmer ones. We go ahead and play it, and I'll just talk over because it's mostly B-roll. But these cops approach this car like it's full of criminals. With their guns out, drawn, fingers on the trigger, there's an infant in this car. There is a man, his wife, and an infant. We can pull up the audio here.
Okay. I saw you, no warning. I'm working out. My girlfriend, she's 28.
Bye, bye. The reason I'm stopping you is your plate stolen.
You said it's who?
It's coming back stolen. Your license plate.
You, like,
you got your ID on your phone?
Yeah, I got my wallet.
Where's your wallet at?
My pocket. Okay. It's not my vehicle.
I'm telling you, it's his girl's vehicle. She's in the car. Keep the video up. We can pull the audio down. I love when you watch. I love watching true crime stuff because you really can tell innocent people. Like, you really can't, like, the guy's like, yeah, your plate came back stolen. And the guy, like, looks over. He starts to look at the plate being like, what are you talking? Like, he doesn't even understand what he's being said. It's so different than when you pull over somebody who's actually guilty and they'll, you know, start arguing and yelling and screaming. So, like, you know, these people, you know, are just sort of baffled. They're just sort of like, what is happening? This is my car. But regardless, both cops, cameras on, they both have their guns drawn, both of them, you know, face, and again, it takes one bad move, one wrong move, one, you know, you got a toddler in the car, who knows what they're doing, the cop sees movement in the shadows and, you know, is a little trigger happy, or maybe a lady cop or something. I mean, this could get really bad really fast. I'm glad it didn't. But I also noticed the driver happens to be black. Maybe flock cameras are racist. Guys, have we considered the fact that flock cameras, if they are in fact catching crimes, are likely to be catching more black criminals than white criminals and are therefore racist? Look, I just want to get rid of flock cameras. I don't really care necessarily how we do it. So maybe we can just say they're racist. That seems to be the only thing that gets anything done these days. You can say it violates our privacy, it violates our security, it's inefficient, it's expensive. I mean, you can object in a million different valid ways. That doesn't matter, though. The only thing left is care about our lies. So we have to lie and say that these are racist, and then and only then will they care about it and take it down. And if they don't, then they're racist, and that's how this works. So again, we can pull up the audio, but, like, you know, this woman also is just like, this is my car. What are we doing exactly? And again, the cops, guns drawn, guns out, are treating this like, you know, they got the people.
He said it's 52.
It's just a family driving around in their car with their child.
If you just want to lay down, go ahead and go for it.
Okay.
So again, thank goodness, you know, this turned out okay. They don't always turn, you know, end up this calm. And luckily, this one's not on the side of a freeway where they get all wiped out by a Indian driving an 18-wheeler.
So, car's showing up as stolen.
Or,
yeah, it might be a mix-up in the system, so if it is,
oh,
then y'all will be good to go.
No, this is my car.
I just had it stored because it's been wrecked. I had to get new tires and stuff on it.
All right, we can take it down. That video goes on for a little bit longer. I just love when you watch cop videos and the person's just clearly innocent. You can just tell. I mean, you really can. And it's worth watching because we see so many liars in our lives. It's nice to see someone telling the truth when they're accused of something. That, I mean, we got a lot of examples we could go to of this exact thing happening over and over. Just the wrong license plate, wrong identification, the facial recognition messes up just over and over and over. Well, meanwhile, you know, we're still dealing with a situation like this. Clip number 46. This is Matt Van Swole. He's talking about Daquan Hunt, who I believe is the guy who was running around Charlotte, North Carolina, attacking white women and bashing their heads on the ground. Because he's black, I guess. I guess that's the reason, if you want to get right down to it. He's black and he's angry at white people, specifically white women, because they don't defend themselves as well. So let's go to clip 46 here. You tell me how Flock Camera deals with this problem. Let's watch.
So I've obtained all of the arrest records for Daquan Hunt, the man who was brutally beating white women in Charlotte, North Carolina, last week. And I want you to tell me if you notice any sort of a pattern here. Okay. So December 2012, Hunt is arrested for assault on a female. Case is dismissed. July 2017, Hunt is also arrested for assault on a female. Case is dismissed. That same month, he's arrested for violating a domestic violence protective order. Case is dismissed. November 17, 2017, Hunt is arrested for assault on a female again. Case is dismissed again. That same month again, another domestic violence protective order violation. Case is dismissed. January 2018, another domestic violence protective order violation. Case is dismissed. So just so you're counting, six cases, all six violence against women or domestic violence protective orders. Six dismissals. Okay. Now let's skip ahead to 2019. Hunt is arrested for discharging a firearm in the city, injury to personal property. Both charges are dismissed. Okay. June 2019 again, same month. Hunt is arrested for discharging a weapon into an occupied property, which is a felony, plus a felony probation violation, which means he's already on paper for something else. This time, he pleads guilty to both. In July 2020, he is sentenced to 20 to 36 months in prison, but the sentence is suspended. He never goes to prison. Ever. August 2024, Hunt is arrested for breaking and entering, injury to personal property, misdemeanor probation violation. He's found guilty on all three. 90 days in prison is his sentence, but he's already been sitting in prison when they arrested him. So he's released that same day that his sentence comes out. No extra time in prison for that. All right, September 2025. Hunt is arrested at a terminal for simple assault and disorderly conduct. He's convicted in November of the disorderly conduct. He goes to prison for 11 days. Credit to time served, and then he's released. November 2025, just a couple months later, Hunt is arrested for assaulting a police officer and resisting arrest. He's convicted of the assault, and he spends, get this, 6 days in prison. Yes, six, for assaulting a police officer. He's credited to time served and then released. Okay, 1 month later, December 2025, Hunt is arrested for trespass in the second degree. Case is dismissed. Same month, December 2025. Hunt is arrested for assault with a deadly weapon, communicating threats, and carrying a concealed weapon. He's convicted in March of 2026, this year, on the assault of a deadly weapon with concealed carry. He spends 89 days in prison. That's it. 89 days in prison. The other two charges are completely dismissed. Credit to time served, so he's already been in prison this whole time. And as soon as the sentence comes down, boom, he's released. So we have 13 arrests. Eight of those arrests are thrown out entirely, just dismissed entirely. All of those, by the way, were assaults against women and violating a domestic protective order. What are we doing here? what are we doing here? This man has spent a total of 196 days in jail. Okay. Not a single one of those was time served going forward. He was already in jail at the time that the sentence was handed down. And they said, all right, you spent enough time in jail. You don't need to go to jail any further. You can get out. He had 20 to 36 months in prison suspended. So nearly 3 years of time he should have been spending in prison, completely suspended. He has 3 arrests for assault on a female, 3 arrests for violating a protective order. Okay. He fired a gun into an occupied property. A police officer was assaulted, and he has an assault with a deadly weapon. And the total additional time this man has spent in prison is zero. Zero. This is a failed system. This has got to stop.
It's actually a system that's working exactly how it was designed, or exactly how it's intended to be used at this point. It's not a failure. A failure sort of inherently means that it was tried and didn't work. That's what a failure means. This is on purpose. This is by design. It's not an accident. It's not like they're trying to put this guy in jail and he keeps wriggling his way out. They just keep letting him go. And again, you know, we talked about the fact that, you know, the guy who filmed Shiloh Hendricks, the Somali guy who's since fled to Somalia, but it was discovered that he was also a rapist who kidnapped an orphan 16-year-old, kept her chained in a RV, and she had to, and like took her shoes off so she couldn't escape. She escaped, bloody feet and all. And they never brought charges until 2 years later, at least. It was over 2 years later. By that point, the girl had aged out of the foster care program and had moved to a different state. And when the cops called and said, hey, you know that guy that kidnapped, imprisoned, and was raping you with his friend for a while 2 years ago? Well, we're finally going to bring charges. And she said, well, I'm not interested. I'm not coming. I don't want to relive that. I don't want to go back to where that was. I can't. I've got a job now. I can't travel. I'd rather just put this behind me. And so he gets off scot-free. So it's like, why do we let these guys out? Because our prisons are overcrowded. Why are our prisons overcrowded? Because people keep committing crimes and, you know, not being sufficiently punished for it. So they go in for a little, get out. Like, how would you feel if every time you did some heinous crime? These are only ones they catch him for, only ones so egregious, so outrageous that somebody calls the cops and they actually find him and try, you know, God only knows how many other women he's beating or whatever else. But like, imagine the feeling of just like you can beat women. The cops come and arrest you. They hold you for about 24 hours and they just let you go again. And then you do it again and it happens again. I mean, you must just feel, okay, I'm allowed to do this. I'm allowed to attack white women. This is what our law is set up to allow. But of course, if only we had flock cameras. I mean, if only we had flock cameras, right? Of course, we now do have flock cameras and they're being used to, you know, arrest families because they have a license plate that's one letter away from a car that was stolen, or arresting a dude for traveling to Michigan too many times. It's just all completely and utterly and outrageously absurd. But, you know, maybe we're just having trouble finding these criminals. Maybe they're hiding in places where we don't have surveillance. Maybe the likes of DeSean Jackson, woman beater, maybe he's hanging out on the links. You ever think about that? Maybe your racism's getting in the way and it never occurred to you that maybe brutal career criminals from the ghetto, maybe they're hanging out on golf courses. Do you ever think of that? Because why else would you put flock cameras on golf courses? Let's go to clip 55 here. Flock condor camera on a golf course uses AI to detect and track pedestrians. No cars here. And I'm going to go out on a limb here and I'm going to guess not a lot of rapists and murderers on the golf course either. Let's watch. Can't even shank a ball in peace anymore.
This is a flawed camera, but it's not a license plate reader. Pay very close attention to the shape of this camera. I'm going to zoom in here. All right, you see it? I'm going to go to Flock's actual webpage, and this is where they describe the different cameras that they have. The one on this pole is actually a Condor camera. This camera is not used to detect license plate. This is to detect humans. And here you go. The Flock Condor camera is used for AI human detection. The built-in software automatically requires and tracks pedestrian movement across the scene. It can pan, zoom in, and follow human movement. So this is not about license plate reading, and this is why it is not anywhere near a car. It's just in a golf course. So this is way beyond what we were told they were going to be. This is for human tracking. This is a mass surveillance network just like China has.
Yeah, but it's only to stop crime. And obviously, you're going to put them where crime happens, like the golf course, right? You tell me. I mean, you tell me why you'd put a flawed camera on a golf course. You tell me. You think it's about people drinking? As if that would even be a good reason. That's even a worse reason. You're going to watch what people are drinking so you can arrest them for DUI after on the golf cart. Yeah, I'd rather them go after the rapists and the murderers. Personally, I'd rather they go after the rapists and the murderers, but hey, golf course crime exists too, I guess, right? So, guess you can't have privacy anymore. But now it's obviously not about crime. It's about controlling you, which is why they're not only going up in places like parks and golf courses, but also gun ranges. Clip 53 here, yet another example of yet another Flock camera outside of yet another gun range. For nefarious purposes. I'm not even going to be sarcastic about it. This is because they want to kill you. Do you understand? They're putting Flock cameras outside gun ranges so they can have a database of who owns guns so they can know who to target when they decide to purge us. That's why. There's no other reason. Now, they'll probably do it systematically. They'll probably do it one by one. They know that Americans, you know, are well-armed and will resist any attempt to mess with us in an obvious way. But if they, you know, make it systematic and point by point, then, I can see where they're going with this. Let's go to clip 53 now.
There are freaking Flock cameras at the gun range. This is the entrance to the gun range. So they got you coming in. They also got you going out. Today's Wednesday, so the gun range is closed until 2. So there's nobody here. Now these are in the driveway to the gun range. They're not out on the road. This is only catching cars and trucks coming in the driveway to the gun range. And right there's the range. Unbelievable. I did send a records request to FWC for information on the Flock cameras and the placement here. I've yet to get a response. I'll let you know if I do get a response. But if you come to the Ocala gun range, just understand that you're going to be on the Flock camera.
Yeah, whatever you do, definitely don't aim your gun at the Flock cameras, okay? What you're not going to want to do, if those Flock cameras are placed near a gun range, you want to be real careful about where you aim your shotgun, okay? Because you could very easily disable them by accident. You could very easily accidentally aim your gun right at the camera and blow it right off that little pole. That would be extremely inconvenient and expensive, so don't do that for sure. Definitely not. Definitely don't do that. We'll move on from Flock cameras, but this is not a joke. They are literally building a digital panopticon. There is no good reason to put cameras outside of a gun range. It's really an intimidation technique, but it is straight up getting ready for the purge. It's coming, folks.
Do you want to try some?
Yes, absolutely.
All right. We'll send you some methylene blue. And if you guys want to get it too, you can get it from thealexjonesstore.com. I invented two proprietary products. Gavin, I'm a business owner, supplement formulator, Power Plant and Methyl Drive. You guys got to get them right now. Magnesium, CoQ10, PQQ, Rhodiola Rosea, Golden Root. It's got the cordyceps, the zinc, the selenium. It's got the boron as well. Raise your free testosterone. Raise your ability to get through hard days and hard tasks. and ultimately raise the potential of the methylene blue that you're probably already taking if you're watching this network. We have that available for you. It's a really good deal, really good price. People just kind of across the internet have told me they've started taking it and they've been able to get to the gym again. They've been able to get through hard days at work again. Specifically that power plant formula. If you're looking for something like Super Meal Vitality from back in the day, I basically invented a better version of that. That's called Power Plant. It's available solo or also in the Power Drive bundle at thealexjonesstore.com. Look up what proper magnesium does for your body. Look up what proper methylated vitamin B12 does for your body. All of that and more is in Power Plant and Methyl Drive, and you can get them all three together on the Power Drive bundle along with the other phenomenal products. We have the turmeric. We've got the MK Ultra, which is a phenomenal multivitamin, also nootropic as well. Ultimate Burn. If you really, you're trying to lose a little bit of weight, here's the thing. I've been doing a good job. I'm almost down to like 205 now. If you want to join me on a weight loss journey, you can get yourself some Ultimate Burn. And all the other products we have, like Methylene Red specifically, are also great for that. Methylene Red also has that CoQ10. Get the turmeric, get the blue, get the gummies, get the colostrum. My grandma is not capping on jaw for real. It really helped her with her hair if you want it. We've got the T3 Trifecta Iodine, absolute staple of the old network. We've got the Ultimate Sea Moss, Ultimate Turmeric, the Bovine Beef Tallow. It's got the Methylene Blue inside the tallow, incredible antioxidant, methylene blue. I already went over it, tried to with Gavin a little bit. We've got the zeolite, incredible for heavy metal support, dechelation, stuff like that. The Shilajit complex, we've even got smelling salts. Ultimate Life Force, which is absolutely incredible. It's got the natokinase in there. It's got things, theoretically to, you know, attenuate certain anecdotal things with the spike protein. Not making a health claim there. Talk to your doctor. It's just a top rated formula for a reason. The Ultimate CMOS gummies in another form. The creatine, the Ultimate Power. We've got tons of sales on the different forms and flavors of the Ultimate Power pre-workout. We've got the NAD. We've got the Methyl Drive. We've got the MK Ultra. We've got Optimal Human. I got drink mixes for you. I got powders. I got energy gum. This is what you need. We have an electrolyte powder. It is so important in the summer months to get proper electrolyte support. And if you look at a lot of these blends on the grocery store shelf, they are pure garbage. Get yourself some Optimal Human. Get yourself some beef tallow. Get yourself some Atomic Defense. All of that and more is available at thealexjonesstore.com. I did not even mention the water filtration, the shower filtration that we have, the Patriot apparel that we have, the collectible coins memorabilia that we have. Literally everything that you could ever want theoretically or practically to support this operation, you can get at thealexjonesstore.com. This is what makes us different. Other people do a show so they can sell a product. We sell the best products in the world so that we can do the best show in the world. That's what makes this operation completely different, completely viewer, listener, supported, funded, owned by you at home when you decide, when you choose to make the decision to support us and get the phenomenal products at thealexjonesstore.com. I'm telling you again, the Power Drive Bundle, Methyl Drive, Power Plant, Methylene Blue, that is like the trifecta.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Keep your hand on your gun. Don't you trust anyone. Keep your hand on your gun. Don't you trust anyone.
First in my scope is BAE systems.
All right, welcome back, folks. I'd like to move on. We will move on from Flock, but unfortunately, we're sticking with crime. We're sticking with overall crime. Because once again, it's just okay. It's just like, here's another example of a situation that it takes effort not to solve. That really doesn't make sense if you actually understand the facts of what's going on. Long story short, the Minnesota State Fair is about to start, and yet there are two rival Somali gangs that are planning a shootout at the fair. apparently we just know this. Apparently this is like just common knowledge. Now, instead of like, I don't know, arresting the people in the gang or doing something proactive that would prevent the forming of Somali gangs who carry out warfare in the state park, you could do something. You could do literally anything to this. Instead, their plan is to allow the gangs to go to the state fair as long as they don't hang out with each other. Oh, great. I'm sure that'll work. If there's one thing gangs are known for, it's listening to the directives of authorities who don't force them to do anything. Let's go to clip number five here. Minnesota lawsuit seeks restrictions on two alleged gangs over political violence at the 2026 Minnesota State Fair. Thank you, Somalia. Let's watch.
We are just 20 days away from the Great Minnesota Get-Together, and prosecutors, they're working to prevent a potential gang fight.
Stop this before it happens.
This new lawsuit is asking a judge to prohibit two known gang members, the Ville and Muddy, from gathering at the state fair. Prosecutors say the two groups have been connected to gang-related incidents involving shootings as far back as 2024. The proposed injunction would stop members of the two known gangs from associating with one another, which basically means they can come to the state fair, but they cannot stand, sit, gather with known gang members.
And if you do, you'll be violating the injunction, and that will bring consequences in your direction.
Investigators say a social media post is hyping up.
I can't believe that this is where we are as a country, that the 2026 Minnesota State Fair literally has a threat from two rival Somali gangs that are planning violence and a shootout. It's so serious that prosecutors, including the Minnesota Attorney General, had to file injunctions against the two street gangs, saying that there needed to be a proposed safety zone, saying that they could not go in the area of the state fair. Multiple reports all confirm that these are both Somali gangs. They are not some American or black gangs. They are Somali. And these gangs are very violent. There are a lot of Somali gangs. They've already done over 100 gang-related shootings, at least 14 murders just in the last couple of years. And when these Somali gangs are threatening violence, you should believe them, because on the 4th of July, what did they do? They committed murders. Somali gangs in Minnesota committed murder and shootings on the 4th of July. 12 different Somali gangs have been identified as committing violence all over Minnesota. The majority of it is gun violence. And then what do we have again at the Minnesota State Fair? We have the threat of a shootout and more gun violence. Why are we letting foreigners run our country?
Why indeed? State Ramsey County sue gangs to prevent Minnesota State Fair violence. They're seeking a temporary injunction from engaging in certain nuisance-causing conduct. How about you just send them all back to Somalia? They can have all the shootouts they want there. There's a whole country. Tell them that's where the state fair is. Say, in fact, we're going to reward you, our beloved Somali community. We're going to fly you straight to the state fair. And then you put them on a plane, you go to Somalia, and then you just open the hatch. Problem frickin' solved. Then you can enjoy the state fair without being caught in the crossfire. Wouldn't that be something? They're suing the gangs. Now, I've talked about this a while ago, but like, truly understand that if the government wanted to, it could end crime in America. It could end crime, and it wouldn't have to violate your privacy, and it wouldn't have to build flock cameras. I've been to the FBI, in the FBI headquarters in Baltimore, they have maps hanging on the wall, and it's the city of Baltimore. And it's the same map. It's the same, you know, city depicted. But on one, you have red areas highlighted. On another, you have yellow areas highlighted. On another, you have blue areas highlighted. And it's the gang zones. And they go, okay, these are the zones controlled by the motorcycle gangs. Here's the zones controlled by the black gangs. Here's the zones controlled by the Mexican gangs. And this is accepted as a perpetual state, that these gangs are going to exist, they're going to be committing crime, and I guess the FBI and the police departments are there simply to monitor and occasionally intervene. But ever since then, I've just been like, what? If you know where they are, you know what areas they control, you can't round these people up, you can't just arrest them. Somali gangs, that are apparently advertising their shootouts weeks ahead. You can't just go arrest those people. You can't just throw them in prison. They're not even American. You can't just send them back where they came from. Of course, you could do all of this. They're choosing not to. They're choosing not to. They would rather beg that they not shoot each other and then act surprised when they do than just get them out of our country so we can just live normal lives and just be Americans and they can be Somalians and they can shoot each other all they want and we can go to state fairs and we can all be happy with our own chosen mode of entertainment. You know, you never see white people having state fairs where they're doing their shootouts, do you? You never see white people going and trying to build a Ferris wheel in Somalia where they're killing each other and throwing each other in ditches, do you? You just this. There's no recompense. There's no mutual respect. See, we have fun by eating corn dogs and playing games where you throw hoops onto bottles. If your source of entertainment is trying to murder and eat each other, maybe Africa is more your place. That's more your vibe over there. Plenty of that going on. How about we keep the safe family-friendly stuff here and exclude the insane African warlords? And I'm the radical. And I'm the radical one, obviously. The question he asked at the end there, why do we allow foreigners to rule over us? Because they're here. Because they're here. If they weren't here, they wouldn't rule over us. But they are here. And here is America, where white people have been beaten down and discriminated against and basically bastardized, neutered, basically, stripped of our common identity, other than when it's degraded and insulted and hated, right? You look at a Somali and they're just as American as you or I until it comes time to lay blame for the history of slavery. Then it's very easy to tell who's white and who's an invader. Of course, they don't call it that. But this is inevitable. If you bring a large portion of people to a small area in a quote-unquote democracy, in a land where the native inhabitants are legally precluded from expressing themselves as a group or advocating for their shared interest, but the sizable populations you're bringing from other countries are in fact incentivized and funded to gain political power and represent themselves, then it's inevitable that they're going to rule over you. There has to be a change in trajectory. There has to be a massive reshuffling of how this world works, because either we're going to be ruled by foreigners or we're going to have to exclude foreigners. There's no other option. And of course, we showed yesterday people like Mom Donnie pretty blatantly expressing the fact that they're not progressive, that they don't believe in liberalism, but that they're both unified in their hatred of white people and their desire to destroy the country that they now claim to represent. And once again, we are under no obligation as Americans to suffer these hostile foreigners openly advocating and organizing for our destruction. We're not good people for allowing this. You're not living up to some angels of your better nature by being victims of violent African scam artists. You're just dumb. You're just surrendering without a fight. You're not a good person for allowing this disgusting, degenerate Turkish fraud to live in your country while despising you. Okay? Okay. And by the way, they're genuinely motivated by the most base hatred, jealousy, and sense of inferiority. It's not complicated. This is not sophisticated. It's not complicated. You don't need to do psychological investigations into any of this. They say themselves what is motivating them. We have this from Zoran Mamdani himself. He wrote in 2014 about his, you know, seething hatred of white people because of his deep, deep feelings of inadequacy. Quote, I thought certain types of girls were impossible to talk to due to my skin being more kiwi than peach. Months later, I remember thinking that attraction might only be possible when a girl had, quote, a thing for brown guys. This isn't good. It's not good to be run by people who grew up, again, like just seething about the fact that girls like white guys. You don't want to put that type of person in charge of white guys. They'll use their power to wreak revenge for their own inadequacy. Black Panther leader Eldridge Cleaver considered raping white women an insurrectionary act designed to undercut the, quote, white man's laws from raw egg nationalists. Sexual resentment is a very powerful driving force in modern racial politics. Rejection by sorority girls helped make Mom Donnie who he is. I can remember wishing for whiteness, he says. So again, like these people who are just like, we hate white people, we want to destroy white people are all bad. They're also, in their own words, secretly jealous and wishing that they were white. Again, get over it. Be proud of who you are. Stop having racial resentment because other people are doing better. And yeah, literally that's what's happening here. Foreign-born voters in New York City voted for Mamdani 62%, with only 24% of foreign-born voters voting for Andrew Cuomo. In Michigan, Abdul Al-Sayed got 94% of the Arab vote, with Haley Stevens only getting 6. Import the third world, elect the third world. Like this alone, like if you have a population that votes 94% for their own racial ethnicity, like you should not let them vote anymore. They shouldn't be allowed to vote. They're not voting in the traditional sense. Voting is a very specific definition in America. It's supposed to be that you are casting your vote and showing your confidence in the person that you believe will best guide the nation. If you just import a bunch of people who always and exclusively vote for their own racial ethnicity, regardless of what they support, regardless of what they say, then they're not participating actually in our system. They're just hijacking and abusing it, and they should not be allowed to vote anymore until they can prove themselves worthy of the privilege, like white people who tend to vote about 50-50, right? Doesn't actually impact the race, except that white people vote against white people because we've been tricked into suicide. I read this on Instagram and it hit hard. 153 Muslims ran in the midterms. 89 of them secured victories in 25 states. This is how Sharia law infiltrates the system. 153 Muslims ran. 89 of them secured victories in 25 states. The thing I'm putting across is this really is not complicated. This really is not difficult to comprehend. This is very simply a slow motion invasion. Nothing more, nothing less. This has nothing to do with history. This has nothing to do with historical repayment of debts or America's openness and willingness to accept population. This is an attack on European culture from outsiders who are not interested in being grafted in to America. They're not interested in assimilating. They're not interested in our system. They despise it and want it for themselves so they can rule it differently like they rule their countries. Not complicated, not sophisticated, not even difficult to fight back. They just won't do it. Muslim family day out at Carowinds. There's a Muslim family day out. Okay. Obviously, if it was any other group, there would be lawsuits, but don't expect Christians to stand up for ourselves anytime soon. We've been brainwashed out of that. Let's go to clip 12 here. Formerly undocumented immigrant discusses political power and behind the scenes socialist organizing in Queens and how they're actively recruiting illegal or undocumented immigrants to fill their political ranks. Let's watch clip 12.
I just want to say that as an immigrant who was not born in this country, as a formerly undocumented immigrant, as someone who just got her citizenship in 2016, you know, I did not openly identify myself as a socialist. For a while, I was a closeted socialist. Partly because, you know, I grew up, when we moved to this country, my parents moved to Florida, and that was a very different political context in which to be, call yourself a socialista, right? And so I understand that, you know, sometimes because of our own safety, because of the political context, because of your power, you know, you may not be as out and proud or active in particular roles that may be public in your politics. But what I do want to say is that there are so many ways in which you can be involved behind the scenes in small ways. Part of the work that I did and the reason I moved to Queens was because I saw the political power that undocumented workers and undocumented people in Queens were building. And, you know, I see some compañeros here that I work with at Knife, Barbara, shout out, compañera, who were part of this movement, right? And so I know deeply and personally and firsthand that you don't have to have papers to have power, right?
So again, I mean, when you become an American citizen, you take an oath to not be a socialist. All these people could be expelled from our country. They should be let in the first place and obviously deported. But like, do you understand? I mean, these people, they don't even pretend to be in support of America. They're literally just organizing, just going, hey, we're bringing in people that aren't American, don't believe in American agenda, but we're activating and organizing politically. We're going to change the laws of the country. We're going to take power. We're going to seize this stuff for our own. It's literally just outsiders invading America for their own benefit to dispossess us. That's all. It's not complicated. It's not difficult. That's funny. I don't know what it has to do with what we're talking about, but it's still pretty funny. Let's go to clip 14 here. So maybe you are a racist. Maybe you do need a non-white person telling you. Okay, that's fine. You don't believe me because I'm white. I get it. Let's go to clip 14.
And you're saying that wherever Muslims live, that's
if problem? Muslims become more than 30%, that country is in danger.
That sounds like hatred. That sounds like language of hatred.
It's easy to say hatred. I'm being kind to them by not letting them come to India.
Article 14 of the Indian Constitution guarantees the right to equality, as you know, for all persons living in India.
I can tell you that's a misinterpretation of Article 14. Article 14 guarantees equality of equals. I'll give you an example.
Are all people not equal?
All people are not equal.
Muslims do not deserve equal rights to apply for...
There's no such thing as equal rights. They're not in an equal category.
I'm on Team India all of a sudden. All of a sudden, turns out I'm on Team India. Obviously, he's exactly right, and it is just a numbers game, and they know it. But of course, the economic destruction is piled on top of the rest of it. The size of the American workforce has fallen by over 1 million people in the last year. The share of Americans who are working or looking for a job has not been this low since the pandemic. It's a signal of shifting demographics and a sign of the current mood, economists say, and it's causing some worry. The labor force participation rate measures the share of people who are potentially available for work and either pulling in paychecks or out there looking for a job. That rate fell to 61.4%, the Bureau of Labor Statistics said Friday. February 2021 was the last time the rate was so low. Golden age, right? This is the golden age we keep hearing about, which is obviously why record numbers of U.S. adults are moving in with their parents as costs rise. You know, the golden age. The golden age where adults can't afford to live on their own and have to live with their parents like children, even though they have jobs, because they're being priced out of the market or simply discriminated against because of the influx of hostile foreigners. A record number of adult children under 35 in the U.S. are moving back in with their parents, either because they can't afford homes of their own or because they want to save money amid the rising cost of living. According to a recent Subway, in 2025, 25.2 million adults under age 35 lived at home, according to Realtor.com, which found that share of adults living with their mom and dads higher than it was during the COVID-19 pandemic. Many of these adults moving back in with their parents are employed, but their wages are not keeping up with inflation. Among the 25 to 34-year-olds living at home, roughly 7 in 10 have jobs, the online real estate firm found. very troubling signals going, again, not just ignored, but like aggressively discredited by the current Trump administration, which is unfortunate because we know what comes next. And again, I can't even understand, you know, just every time we make this argument, it's like the Trump administration, the Republicans, they need to deal with this. This is their problem. They'll be the ones to pay the price. They don't seem to care, which is interesting because they're all going to go to jail. Midterms. Democrats are laying the groundwork for investigations into entities tied to Trump. The Democrats are already laying the groundwork for investigations into entities linked to President Trump rather than seeking immediate impeachment if they win the midterms. According to Reuters, senior Democrats in the U.S. House of Representatives and committee aides have discussed using hearings, subpoenas, and document requests to obtain records from entities tied to Trump's political and business orbit, the sources said. It is a bet that investigating private companies and outside financial players will prove more fruitful than directly confronting a White House they expect to resist oversight, they said. Senior Democrats are planning to take a more cautious approach during Trump's first term than during Trump's first term, Reuters said, because they don't want a president to be able to portray himself as a victim. We're not going into this to impeach, a senior Democrat aide describing the thinking among the party leaders and committee staff. No one wants a failed vote on day one. The focus is on building a body of evidence through investigations that can hold Trump accountable. And it's times like this that you just think, man, it must be amazing to be a Democrat. I mean, it must really feel amazing. They're not even in power. They don't have the House. They don't have the Senate. They don't have the presidency. They don't have the Supreme Court. They are still doing more to punish their political enemies, to investigate corruption, than the Republicans. They're laying the groundwork that I guarantee you will come to fruition. This was one of the things that during the debate of MAGA and America First, as we kept making objections to the Trump administration, there was always an excuse. There was always a reason why it couldn't be done. And I just had to ask the question, why do the Democrats never have to make excuses? The Democrats never have something that, you know, their constituent wants and they go, you know, we understand that you'd want Trump investigated, but, you know, until there's evidence of a crime, you know, kind of have our hands tied and, you know, we could do that, but you need to be patient. No, they do it. They just go, okay, yeah, we're laying the groundwork. We will be investigating everything. They don't need a crime. They don't need a precedent. They set the precedent. They did this already. They did it under Biden. They did it at the tail end of Obama's term with Trump and the Russiagate nonsense. They set the precedent. The only viable response would be Republicans doing exactly the same, but they won't. They just won't. But the Democrats are. Are you going to be surprised when they sweep? Are you going to be shocked when Republicans are ousted from power and the Trump administration flames out in failure? Are you going to be? I'm not. Are you going to act like this is our fault for telling you the right thing to do the entire time? This should be us. If this was us, we wouldn't have anything to complain about. Criminals would be in prison. And we'd be fine, but nope.
The dirty, dark, dastardly villain is after the methylene blue formula.
Feast your eyes on the magical methylene blue. Don't wait. Get yours today while supplies last.
New grape flavor bovine colostrum gummies. Yeah, baby. Yeah, these are the best. Support your gut with these grape gummies. Get yours now. All-new Groovy Grape Bovine Colostrum Gummies have arrived. They're sweet, they're groovy, and they're ready to roll. Don't miss out. Get yours today. Oh, yeah, baby.
Hey,
globalists are poisoning your family. Fight back with superfood gummies, vitamins, powerhouse probiotics, plus an organic fruit and veggie blast. For the resistance, get them now. Now that's how you stick it to the globalists. Tastes like pure victory, baby. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Welcome back, folks. Third hour of War Room is on. I'm going to take your phone calls this hour. I'll open up the phone lines in the next segment, since this first five-minute segment is not picked up by all the radio stations. But this is my real concern, laying out everything that we have so far with the illegal immigration, everything, right? It's both the failure of the Trump administration to do anything substantially positive in terms of deportations or, you know, limiting the behavior of the Democrats and doing something to oppose their, you know, political organization and machinations, which, even though they're not in power, seem, you know, more sophisticated and well-run than ours. Like, we are in power. Nobody's investigating anything. Nobody's trying to punish anybody for anything. Anthony Fauci is lying through his teeth, being caught over and over again. Lies that he told the American people that absolutely caused deaths, possibly in the tens of thousands. Mass murderer Anthony Fauci, he's not being punished. Why would you expect Russiagate to be punished? Or literally any of the other 20 or 15 major attacks against the American people that have happened since 2016. And again, I have to ask, like, I genuinely don't know if it would have been better if Donald Trump had just never entered politics. And this is exactly why. This article right here tells you everything you need to know about how the Donald Trump presidency, his entire political project, has not just been a failure. It's like reversing things. It's doing things for our enemies that they can never do without Trump. So the article from Financial Times: Donald Trump is dismantling U.S. guardrails, warns former security officials. Now, it used to be that you'd see an article like this and you just sort of scoff at it because you knew that what Trump was doing was, if anything, too much in line with the law. Right? He's too careful. He's too cautious. He's too unwilling to just do things and then let them fight you back, right? That's how it should work. What should happen is he should give an order. He should pursue a policy. And if they want to try to stop it, okay, now you can have it out in the courts or whatever else. Instead, it seems to be a lot of like, well, if we tried that, they would stop us, so we're not going to do it. Or, yeah, the Democrats did it to us, but we don't want to be like them, do we? It's like, no, I do want aspects of that. No, I do want to go after our enemies. I do want to round them up. I do want to discredit them politically and not let them take power. That's what we voted for. But now you look at a lot of what Trump is doing, and whether it's going to war without government, congressional oversight for significantly longer than the 60-day window that's allowed by the Constitution, or his targeting of the fishing boats off the coast of Venezuela. I mean, these things are extreme overreaches of his power, and yet none of it is being used to help the American people. If Donald Trump was dismantling U.S. guardrails because of his obsessive pursuit of justice, of his obsessive attempts to fulfill the policy promises of his campaign, then I wouldn't care so much about this. But Donald Trump is simultaneously destroying guardrails to centralized governmental power in America and not using it to benefit the Republicans, the American people, or to harm the Democrats and lower their electoral chances. So all he's doing is pissing off the left, invigorating the left, empowering the left, and then removing guardrails to their eventual tyranny once they get back in power because of all the crap that he's pulled. Financially, we're in a terrible spot. We're waging this stupid war for a genocidal state that everybody hates. None of the criminals who did Russiagate or COVID or Black Lives Matter or mail-in ballots and stole the 2020 election or threw my friends in prison for January 6th or shuffled money around from criminal enterprise to political activist committee to get DAs elected so they could let all the criminals out. None of that's happening. Nothing for the American people is happening. Instead, he's building a panopticon surveillance grid and systematically removing guardrails to prevent tyranny in this country. And he's going to hand it over to the Democrats. Thanks, Trump. Great job.
Ladies and gentlemen, Bigley has launched an online pharmacy, 1776rx.health. It's one product we're launching with, my decision, and that is ivermectin with benzidol, both powerful, really good anti-parasitics. It doesn't just get the big worms and all the crap that's out there. It's amoebas, it's microplasms. It is so important. These two together, I mean, ivermectin is a Nobel Prize winning for this, but benzidol is the big one. And folks, it isn't just parasites. Just search benzidol studies. Just put that into a search engine and you'll see congressional hearings. You'll see top scientists. You'll see all the studies on what else it does that they don't want you to know about. It's dramatic. So, and you won't know if you had any type of parasitical deal or whatever until you've done this. And a lot of people went there yesterday. A lot of people got it. Very smart move. 1776rx.health.
Folks, third hour of the War Room is on. I'm going to go ahead and open up the phone lines for your calls. 512-266-0642. It is now 5:06 p.m. Central Time on Tuesday, the 11th of August, and we are now live taking calls. 512-266-0642 about any of the topics that we've covered or anything you think we may have missed. Give us a call now. 512-266-0642. And do not forget, folks, to go to thealexjonesstore.com to purchase not only our incredible supplements, t-shirts, hats, all that great stuff, but our new product is absolutely going to sell out in no time. May already be sold out at this point, but it's for a very good reason. Not only is it a very cool product, very useful product, but it's also a very, very, very good deal. The whole thing in total, I think, is $39.99, if I'm not mistaken. It's the Liberty Concealed Carry Pack. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Heavy duty 500D nylon, water resistance coating, reinforced construction, heavy duty zippers loaded with features including the webbing, the multiple compartments, five interchangeable patches include a Betsy Ross flag, a Don't Tread on Me flag, a Jerusalem cross, and more. And these patches, I mean, every one of these could sell for at least $5. You know, typically I was just on vacation and seeing patches that were like 15, 20 bucks a piece. I know because they were too excited and want to buy them. These, you get five patches included, which alone is worth more than the cost of the entire thing. So, I mean, the deal of this is just incredible. And the patches are cool in and of themselves. The Betsy Ross flag, we have a very strict gun control policy. If there's gun around, I want to be in control of it. Don't tread on me. And of course, the Jerusalem flag. And, they just Velcro right there to the front. And you can stylize it, use your own patches if you want. But again, these patches, I mean, you can tell they're stitched. I mean, these aren't cheap, like print-on type things. These are very well made. Just like everything we have is extremely well made. And like I said, if you're not on the fanny pack train, you're missing out. You're missing out. They seriously, fanny packs are more useful than you know. And I always carry one. This obviously is a concealed carry one, so it's specifically made to carry your gun. So it's easy access. Which is another thing, right? Like, probably most people listening to my voice have guns, but do you have them in a place where they're accessible, where you can actually get to them when you need them? Are you ready to be a hero like those 2A activists in, or is it Idaho, at the Idaho In-N-Out, who stepped up and stopped a mass shooting in progress because they were armed, ready, and well-trained? Are you armed, ready, and well-trained? Well, you need to be, you need to have the equipment to go along with it. And we have the best. It is specifically for, you know, concealed carry. So obviously that's going to be the you know, the best way to use it, but you don't need to have a gun. You know, it's just a good fanny pack at the end of the day with these cool patches. Extremely well made, extremely versatile and useful, and just kind of cool looking. And I just like how it looks. So go now, thealexjonesstore.com, get the new Liberty Concealed Carry Pack while you can, because it is going to sell out very, very soon. Discreet, versatile, you can wear it around your waist, your chest, your shoulder, all of that for just $39.99, and that includes those five patches, which would sell for $39.99 themselves, but are simply the add-on. And of course, if you're a VIP member, you get even more discounts. You get that $10 a month to spend on this. So you can really get that price down. Go today, thealexjonesstore.com. And again, that number to dial if you want to call in is 512-266-0642. 512-266-0642. While we let the calls come in, and guys, we can bring up a call screen. Then I can, And we're doing new callers, first time callers today. We love our regular callers. We get a lot of, repeat callers and we love you guys, but today we're looking for new callers. So if you've never called in or if you've called in and we're not able to get on air, give us a call now, 512-266-0642. And I'm going to talk about immigration just a little bit more, because it all's tied in together, right? We were just reading about the golden age of living with your parents, the golden age of having a job but still not being able to afford a house, the golden age of Trump building a surveillance grid but not actually using it to go after criminals. It ain't going well, folks. CIS.org found that 51% of legal immigrants and 61% of illegal immigrant households rely on a major welfare program. We can reasonably infer that while American struggle, a significant part of the GOP of other countries comes from U.S. welfare dollars. Remittances from the U.S. make up a large part of Latin American and Caribbean economies, with LAC remittances as a percentage of GOP. And so each country here, you can see, these are the remittances that are coming from America in blue, and it's absolutely massive. It's this one over here. There it is. I did like this from Geraldo Rivera. He says, expelling Haitian migrants is sending them straight to hell, but they came from there. So what you're saying is these migrants from hell must be sent back. Is that what you're saying? When you're saying they're sending them to Haiti would be sending them to hell, you're saying the place they came from is hell. What you should be saying is expelling Haitian immigrants is sending them straight back to hell. Back to hell. He's missing the word back there. This represents the, you know, deliberate plan that, you know, is bringing all of this about from Christian Hines. The pension and welfare model that virtually all Western nations built in the 20th century will collapse in the 21st. That model relied on several assumptions that are all breaking down at once. One, the economy and tax base would grow fast enough to support expanding commitments. Two, there would always be many more workers paying into the system than retirees drawing from it. Three, the cost of each beneficiary will remain manageable relative to the income of each worker. Conservative politicians have tried to put off the system's final reckoning with immigration, and leftist politicians have tried to put it off with tax hikes, but tax hikes simply eat into the productive base that feeds the system, and you can only import so many highly skilled, high-earning, high-IQ immigrants before you begin mass importing a bunch of welfare leeches that eat into the system rather than help feed it. We're approaching the limits of both. It's only a matter of time until the math breaks down, and you see the same sort of crisis beginning to paralyze every Western nation, seemingly all at once. And again, you can't help but notice that it's on purpose. It's not exactly an accident. It's not exactly like they didn't know what they were doing when they set up our entire welfare system to be a Ponzi scheme that required, necessitated the impossibility of infinite growth. It actually wouldn't be a big deal if we didn't have that poison pill, the heart of our society. In other words, okay, the birth rate drops a little bit. Okay, not the worst thing in the world because people live a lot longer now. Kids live through childhood 99% of the time. You know, you don't necessarily need five kids per family just to maintain population like you may have needed 100, 200 years ago. So, okay, as you become more modern, as you become more technologically advanced, you get more poisons in the food and water, so you're a little less healthy, maybe your fertility goes down a little bit, maybe you're putting off having a family for a little longer because women are getting educated and want to go through school before they settle down. Okay, fine, your birth rate lowers a little bit. It wouldn't actually be that big of an issue, except suddenly not enough people are paying into the pension Ponzi scheme, so suddenly it's short couple dollars, so you need to bring in some immigrants. It turns out they just go on welfare, don't even pay into the retirement funds, are only a further drain. And so what's happening in every single European country? They're raising the retirement age. Yeah, we brought over a bunch of migrants to, you know, pay for your retirement, but then they all went on welfare. So now you have to pay for their existence and work until you die. You think it's an accident? You think these people are so dumb they didn't know that was going to happen? They deliberately set about a program of depopulation to encourage people not to get pregnant and have kids. So, what the hell? Anyway, it's really not all that complicated. It's pretty simple. It's all pretty simple. Before we go out to call, should we do a quick little tour? Should we do a little tour of Europe? I mean, Europe's farther down the line than we are. In some ways, I mean, I could show you a lot more videos in America of teen gatherings, teen get-togethers, as they call them. Here in America, we're sort of worse than Europe in a lot of ways, but it's been an interesting day or so in Europe, so let's take a look. First, we'll go to clip number 4 here. This was a police officer who was stabbed in Toulouse during an incident involving a suspect reportedly shouting, Allahu Akbar. Let's go to clip 4 now. Okay. All right, so you have a terrorist attack in France. So there you go, tackle him down. Good, could have done that at the border, but that's fine. All right, France is one terrorist attack down there. Let's go to clip 11 here. This is a British woman being arrested for recording a migrant hotel near her home. Let's watch clip 11.
I am videoing. Right. You can't because you've got dementia. Okay. Yeah, that's why mum can sit down. Okay. Right, I'm going to have to lock the door because she'll be out.
Okay, that's fine.
I'm a main carer, yeah?
Is it you meant that's inside?
Yeah.
Is she okay?
Yeah, she's... Yeah, okay. I'll just have to keep an eye on her.
Okay. Gail, time's 12:21, 29, okay?
Yeah.
And you're currently under arrest, okay? Under section 21 of the Public Order, okay?
What's that for?
I'm going to tell you now. It's for... recording and distributing a recording with the intent to cause racial hatred, okay?
I'm not racist.
You don't have to say anything but may I'm a defence. If you do not okay. mention my question, something that you say.
Right, I need to get someone to help
anything,
me, Mum.
Anything you do say may be given evidence.
Can I have all your numbers, yeah?
Of course you can, that's fine. 3903.
And that one, darling. I know you're doing your job, but at the end of the day...
I understand that.
I'd heard about the institute, I went straight down, and I was that wound up. It was, oh...
Don't need to talk about it now.
All right.
3857.
But if I'd, and then I was told after that there was someone there. If I'd have known, I wouldn't have gone down.
No, listen, we'll get to the bottom of it. Is it Gail,
you're
going
to have to obviously turn your phone off now.
No.
All right, so that's a woman in the UK, apparently caring for her dementia-ridden grandmother, who is now arrested, or mother, who's now being arrested for simply filming and posting a video of the migrant hotels. All right, terrorist attack in France, people being arrested for simply noticing the invasion in England. Let's go to Switzerland. Switzerland's been able to avoid this sort of stuff, right? Clip 13, here's a Zurich police parade. A street parade. Let's watch. Huh. Not exactly the picturesque Swiss mountain town you might expect. It actually looks more like a bazaar in Calcutta. Okay, so France, England, Switzerland, it's very diverse, you might say. You could say that it's very diverse. That would be one way to put it, I suppose. All right, so it's not, wasn't a great day in Switzerland, not a great day in France, not a great day in England. Should we check on Germany today? Clip 38, people clash in a running street fight in broad daylight in Durin, Germany, as bystanders watch and react. Let's watch. Beautiful Germany. Deutschland. You know, you think of Deutschland, you think of, chocolate and lederhosen, dirndls, and Arab men punching women in the face while holding machetes. This fight was between machetes and axes, and actually it got brutal and bloody, and some of the footage is actually not fit for TV. Yeah, you know, it's just really not going well. But it's okay. You know, they know how to do things. They will arrest people. In fact, there may be a little bit of a misnomer, a little bit of confusion, because there's a double standard in Britain for arrest. White people, even when they're stabbed, you know, they'll be the ones arrested if they just say there's a racist incident. But it's not as clear cut as that, as we're about to see. There is a instance, there is a situation in which black people will be arrested. Now, not usually. In fact, we got, you know, how about clip 48 here? Street altercation shows a woman being struck with an object before fighting back, and then she gets arrested by the police. So let's watch clip 48 here. So you can see a woman. That woman in the black dress is being hit in the head by some black guy with some giant object. I'm not even sure what it is. Actually stands up for herself. Nobody's helping her, right? Nobody comes to her rescue. Nobody comes to her aid. Just the individuals around. And then the cops show up and arrest her and put her in handcuffs. And they never seem to notice the fight while it's the black person attacking the white person. As soon as the white person fights back, boy, do they jump to action. And yet we've seen four or five videos this month just like that. We played a series of them about 2 weeks ago. Multiple instances just like that. White guy standing there, black person comes up, attacks them, the white person fights back, the white person gets slammed to the ground and arrested by police, and the black person gets let go. This is literally like a daily thing at this point. Completely and utterly insane. And every time, the cops show up like magic the instant the white people fight back. Never before. We can go to clip number 50 here. This is police detaining a young man who just bought a newly purchased baseball bat. It's still sealed in its packaging. So in England, I guess it's illegal to carry around a baseball bat, but it's legal to buy a baseball bat. So you can buy a baseball bat at the store. It's just if you try to carry it home, the police will attack you. So let's watch clip 50.
From Vegas.
Fine, filming it.
I'm meeting my friends.
Do videos. Make videos out of town.
Again, this video goes on for a while, but they, they pretty much violently arrest the guy, and he's just refusing to allow it, and the cop is too weak to actually do anything. You know, if he actually wanted to use the bat, probably get away. But I mean, obviously, I mean, you know, you see this, you know, young white guy walking down the street with a backpack and a baseball bat. I mean, obviously he's on his way to commit a hate crime. He's on his way to bash some packy in the head. And that's the only thing he could possibly be doing. And obviously that's what he's doing. I mean, we see it every day, right? Every day you have these young white guys hunting down brown people and beating them with bats. So, you know, it only makes sense that the cop would just assume that that's the only possible thing he could be doing with his baseball bat. And again, just the patheticness of UK police. Oh, there's a dude with a giant cross. That's cool. So, sure, Muslim gangs walk around with machetes, and when police find them, they simply politely ask them to take the weapons back to the mosque. You know, we've seen videos like that many times in the past. You know, Muslims walking around just literally assaulting people with bladed weapons, bats, pieces of wood. Nothing gets done to them. But if you dare to be a white guy who's into sports, you will be held down. You will be arrested and punished. But like I said, it's not always that simple. It's not always that clear cut. There is an instance in which the UK police will arrest a non-white person. We have found one. We have identified one. It's not the rape gangs. It's not the brutal assaults. It's not having weapons or planning terror attacks. But there is one thing that they will arrest black people for. Do you think you can guess what it is? Let's go to clip 47 now. Enter your guesses below.
disorderly behaviour.
So you've got your beer served back to
Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and after 3 days later was raised back to life. I want to let you all know today that the reason why I'm being arrested is because I'm preaching in the name of Jesus. The reason why I'm being arrested
is because I'm preaching in the name of Jesus.
That's right, folks. We found the one thing that the police in the UK will arrest a black African for. It's preaching the Bible. A street preacher, a black man, a street preacher standing on the corner in the UK preaching the Bible, telling people that Jesus loves them and died on the cross for their sins, he gets arrested. Street preacher Jesse Ngoma has been arrested in London simply for preaching the Bible. They even switched off his speaker and took his Bible out of his hand. This is anti-Christian persecution. So just so you're aware, this is not as clear cut as black versus white, okay? It's white people and anybody who likes white people or the stuff that white people like Christianity or anything good in the world, okay? So just so we're clear of how Europe is doing these days. Nice little tour of the continent, I think. With that, we'll go out to your calls. We go to Cameron in Indiana first. Wants to talk about Flock and the state of the world. Go ahead, Cameron. You're on the air.
Hey there. Yeah, I've started noticing those cameras a lot more because I drive for work, and I started seeing them. I'm in the Indianapolis area right now, and there's not as many as I've heard other areas have, but knowing that, I don't trust them with that kind of power at all, because like you've been saying, and I've heard it referenced, third parties get that data. I think Israel is even one of them. Yeah. So who knows who's looking at it? Anybody can look at it without a warrant, without any authorization, or they just put in some cockamamie reason, or sometimes they just put NA and they look at whatever they want.
Yeah.
So, you know, factoring that in with all these data centers and stuff, who's going to end up with all these data centers when that bubble breaks? Because we have too many. They're built on debt.
Yeah.
So who's going to end up with all these data centers that have all this storage and processing capability? Somebody's going to buy them for pennies on the dollar, or the government's going to take them.
Well, and why would they need that much processing power if not for creating basically, and you know, we actually have it here. This is from Brian Remley on X. Harvard and MIT researchers simulate the entire planet with 8.3 billion AI personas. And it basically creates a facsimile of the real world that you can then, you know, do inputs and manipulate and test, you know, theories on how to, you know, sway the public. But like, if, you know, why build all of these data centers, the size that they are, the quantity that they are, the only thing it could possibly be for is to parse and calculate and create databases for all this information so they can control us, right? I mean, there's no other reason, is there?
So, because there's one going up here in Lebanon. It's gigantic. And I pass it every once in a while. It's the construction site's open 24 hours a day. It's a massive facility. I'm not sure how many acres it is, but it's much larger than some of the other ones that I've seen. But, I mean, you know, if the U.S. is in play, I don't think you can have a one-world government, honestly. So these people that are running all these things have a very high interest in destroying the United States, unfortunately. And you can see it with all this different stuff like the unchecked immigration, the just allowing criminals to run loose on purpose, like the judges and the DAs and all these people who purposely don't prosecute. Because they want the outcome that they're getting.
100%. Could not agree with you more. You know, I typically kind of take a sarcastic view of most things, but like this is one where like I probably shouldn't even joke about, because like people need to understand the seriousness of what is being built. They are literally building a digital cage. They're not doing that for no reason, right? They're not going to use it to stop crime. They're not using it to deport aliens. They're going to use it against you. It's not that complicated, but they're building it now while the Republicans are in power, but the Democrats will get it next.
My fellow patriots, the first thing the globalists and the leftists do when they want to silence you is go after your merchant accounts, go after your business payment systems. It's that simple. They try to cut off your ability to even receive money or make payments. It's globalist siege. It's globalist economic warfare. It's a globalist blockade, an embargo, sanctions against American populist patriots. For everyone that's been watching and listening to me for years, you've seen the attacks. You've seen the deplatforming. You've seen the court battles, the news articles, the demonization, the bogus default judgments. We even have FBI and CIA operatives on hidden camera talking about how their entire goal was to take me out of the knees by knocking out my ability to accept payments. And that model they used on me, they admit, is for all of you.
Alex Jones.
Yeah, so we were after him.
So with Alex Jones, and the goal with him was what, just to bankrupt him?
Pretty much.
Well, because of First United Payments and your support, they failed. And they failed because I had a processor with a backbone who loves America and believes in the free market. One who stands up for American justice and who didn't back down when they received threatening messages and pressure from other major institutions. If you are a conservative business owner, Google is watching you. Meta, Facebook is watching you. Amazon, all of the major big tech is watching you. If you think for one second that they are not orchestrating and coordinating their efforts behind the scenes to take you offline and out of business and render you harmless to the system and the machine, you are wrong. The question is not if, it's when Stripe, Shopify, PayPal, Square, they're all part of the same big tech machine. Consolidation, vertical integration, that is the goal of the BlackRock globalist system. Because once there's only one central system, they can bring in the universal credit score. This is the key to their entire panopticonic takeover plan in their own words. The head of BlackRock, Larry Fink, was very clear. Once they have the system in place and they're close, they are going to shut down everybody that isn't part of their system. Even people that aren't political. This is about total control. They've just got to get to the patriots that are opposing them to get to you. And FirstUnitedPayments.com stands directly in the tyrant's way. My fellow Americans, this is your call to action. Call or email First United Payments now and ask them how you can protect your business against the globalist predatory attacks and shutdowns today. Visit First United Payments now at FirstUnitedPayments.com. And talk to a real human here in the good old U.S. of A. by calling toll-free 877-899-1313. That's 877-899-1313. The tyrants are counting on us not to innovate. They're counting on us not to migrate to institutions and organizations that are pro-human just like us. This isn't some new company. I've been using them for almost a decade. They're already taking care of most of the patriots. Whether you're a florist, have a gas station, or you're a farmer, or you've got a little five and dime shop or a factory, whatever it is, online merchants, this is the place for you. These guys are patriots and they're in our corner. They're Americans just like us and they hate the New World Order with a passion. They believe in the free market and they understand this is 1776 2.0. 90% of it is information warfare and financial. And this is just as important as the right to self-defense and guns. You've got to be able to have your own business. You've got to be able to operate without these globalist sharks, this mafia shutting you down. And First United Payments is the tip of the spear. Proven warriors, ladies and gentlemen, in this fight. Thank you so much. Now visit FirstUnitedPayments.com right now.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Ladies and gentlemen, final segment of the War Room is on. We got to your calls here momentarily. In fact, we'll, I think we'll just go to your calls right now. We've got Chris. We got a couple Christophers. We got Christopher in Arizona first. Go ahead, Christopher in Arizona. You're on the air.
Hello, can you hear me, Harrison?
I hear you fine. Thanks for calling in.
Yeah, I just like I told the receptionist, I just wanted to commend you on your articulation. I think you're hitting on what probably all of your listeners feel at this point. And to touch on the immigration, I'm sorry, the engineer and scientist influx into the European nations.
Right.
I just wanted to tell everybody who's going through that, not just over there, over here too in some places, we all know where, try to be like Lola Moyer, the famous Scottish girl, Scottish folk hero. And once again, I just wanted to say good job. You, Rex, and Alex are just hitting all the points that I think a lot of us are feeling, but some of us aren't able to put it into the kind of explanation and detail that you guys do. And I just want to thank you for all of that. And the crew, too. The crew is awesome.
Well, thank you. Yes, our crew is fantastic. And, you know, if nothing else, I hope that that is a service you appreciate, because I know, you know, we can make change a lot. You know, we've had some major successes, but at the end of the day, if we do nothing other than just be the voice of people out there and give you some relief knowing, like, you're not the only one that sees this. You're not the crazy one here. Actually, you're exactly right about the way things are going and how it's being done. And there's at least one outlet that tries desperately to express that. You know, if nothing else, I think that's valuable psychologically to, you know, keep up the fight. And just on that note, I have this, which I thought was brilliant. This is from Mitochondrial Eve on X. And it's talking about basically the problem and the greatness of white people. Like, they're sort of tied in together in a complicated way. She says, the Anglo has a unique ability to persevere in the face of persecution without complaint. Our stiff upper lip Calvinism may have built empires, but in a world where we're surrounded by invaders, that attitude has limited utility. There are dads out there writing $15,000 checks so their kids can go to can get out of the public school and go to a private school instead. There are moms out there spending hours upon hours every day homeschooling because they feel they have no other choice. And while they're doing it all with a wholesome golly gee whiz smile on their face, while the institutions their ancestors built are filled by invaders and funded from their pockets, we don't have to live like this. Life should be better, easier, more enjoyable, especially for families. The schools should educate. The streets should be safe. The trains should run on time. We should be angry that your parents are growing, or that your children are growing up in the ruins. It's well past time for keep calm and carry on. Dear Saxon, it's time to hate. It's far past time to hate. And this is what I struggle with and talk about all the time. Is this just like, in a weird way, it's like the modern expression of white supremacy is white people not thinking they're in trouble. that's the only place it's manifested. Yeah, and this is maybe the best tweet ever written. The father of seven has not finished a thought in 4 years. He's just moving, feeding, driving, wiping. His brain is soup and his back is finished. He has no opinions about civilization. He's too tired for opinions. And meanwhile, civilization is growing out of him like he is dirt, and he doesn't even notice because there's milk on the floor again. The child free man has read 11 books this year about the decline of the West, and he is the decline, and the books are the evidence, and he will understand that at 58 in a room that is very clean and very quiet. I think that's brilliant. And then next it says, lots of Christian fathers working hard jobs, keeping their heads down and feeling like they're hiding who they truly are from DEIHR, feeling like frauds. But back home, hidden in plain sight, their kids are nourished and disciplined until one day their little kids swagger out of their cozy childhood home as 6-foot adults and vindicate dad. Well, we can hope. One can hope. But already it's not looking great. And again, it's just what white people need to learn is just like, you need to complain. You need to enforce your will. Like, you just need to like not be okay with being taken advantage of when your school starts teaching ridiculous crap. You don't leave. You don't just abandon it. You don't just go, well, that's what they're doing, and you know, you just have to go along with it. No, you step up. You demand that they stop teaching it. And if they don't stop teaching it, then you start a protest. And if the protest doesn't work, you get elected, or you just, you know, impose yourself upon them. The squeaky wheel gets the grease. And I feel like we have forgotten that. And in a way, it is. It's like one of our family mottos, Smith family, suffer in silence. We have some good ones and some bad ones, but one of our favorites is Suffer in Silence. And that's good to a certain degree, but then there's a point to where suffering in silence is no longer a virtue. You're just allowing yourself to be victimized. And we have to stop. We have to stop it. No one else is going to stop it. There's not going to be an equilibrium reached where you're half Muslim and half British and everybody just goes, okay, well, you do you and we'll do us and that's it. Yeah, how about we go from keep calm and carry on to freedom is in peril, defend it with all your might. That'd be a good changeover. Thank you so much for the call, Christopher. Anything else before I let you go?
Oh, no, that was about it. You pretty much hit it.
Well, thank you very much. We do appreciate your support, and hopefully we do a good job of expressing things. Let's go now to Bill in Oregon. Bill, thank you so much for calling in. You're on the air.
Okay, thank you, Harrison. Something about those flock cameras. It's only a matter of time before the cops murder someone on the side of the road.
Well, exactly.
By getting caught up in what I call the fog of fear.
Mm.
Because they're taught that the traffic stops are one of the most dangerous things that police can do during their job. And they're going to see some guy holding his wallet or a cell phone or some senior with a cane, and they're going to get caught up in their fog of fear, and they're just going to shoot him on the side of the road. It's only a matter of time.
I completely agree with you, and that's why I played some of those videos earlier, because you see the cops are approaching, you know, in this case, a car with a child in it, guns drawn, hands, you know, fingers on the trigger. And, yeah, they approach it. So, I mean, that's the thing is, like, maybe there needs to be some training for cops. It's like, hey, when you know, there needs to be a note of some sort. It's like, oh, by the way, this is a flock, you know, identification. So approach with caution, right? Like, this may be wrong. Don't take it so seriously. Because, again, I think cops are just sort of treating the flock camera identification like they would treat a legitimate, you know, formerly how they normally did things. Typically, if you're going to be told, hey, that's a stolen car and that person stole it, you're pretty confident in acting on that. But in this case, it's just some flock camera making a mistake, and yet they're still treating it as if it has all of the impact and that it is as legitimate as a normal thing. So, I mean, let me ask you this, Bill. What's the worst part of the flock cameras to you? Because there are so many things to hate. The privacy violations, the threat of violence that comes with it. I mean, to you, is that the biggest threat here? Is that somebody's going to end up being shot dead on the side of the road?
Threat of violence, because they can't, cops can't be trusted. Like I said, it's what I call the fog of fear, and they already have the finger on the trigger, which is a big no-no.
Mm-hmm. No, it's extremely dangerous. You also want to talk about forest fires. What's your take on this?
Oh, okay. Yeah, I heard you talking about that earlier. I'm in Oregon, and right now in Oregon, there's 61 active fires and 2 million acres burned up.
Whoa.
That's just in Oregon. And, you know, not counting what went on in Washington, where over 200 homes have gotten burned down. So,
and the one in Washington, is that the recent one where they did arrest an arson suspect?
I think so. And we haven't had any major thunder lightning storm, so which is usually the cause of a lot of the fires out west here. But there hasn't been any lightning storms, unless it's like what they call dry lightning.
Right.
Or something like that. But, yeah, 2 million acres just in Oregon so far this year, 61 ongoing active fires.
Yeah.
And last thing I wanted to bring up, do you recall a while back talking about the gardener that saw a drone flying over him and his garden, so he did a Freedom of Information request?
I do.
And he got the sheet back from Homeland Security, and they said, you know, it was one unauthorized food production. Well, at the very bottom of that sheet that I've never heard anybody mention that have talked about that case before, it says, food confirmed, proceed with extreme caution. That tells me they're planning to do a SWAT raid on this guy because he's a prepper. He's growing his own food, and preppers, what do they have? They have guns. They have ammunition. He's growing his own food. He has water. So they've already labeled him as a prepper. And it says right at the bottom of that Homeland Security thing, proceed with extreme caution. That tells you they're planning something nasty on this guy, like a SWAT raid for him growing some vegetables.
You know, I haven't even thought about that, but you're exactly right.
It's at the very bottom of that Homeland Security document that he got from Freedom of Information. It's real hard to see. It's at the very bottom, the last thing.
Proceed with extreme. Yeah, well, and I mean, even without that, I mean, the story is crazy already, but that does add another layer to it. And I know in Oregon, they're passing crazy bills where it's this exact type of thing where it's like if you have a backyard garden, they're classifying you as a farm. And it's like it's illegal to have a farm in residential areas, so you can't have a backyard garden anymore. You can't collect rain on your property. You can't use your water to, water plants that you might want to grow. That guy, I believe, was in Virginia, right, Bill? So, I mean, this is a cross-country thing. We've heard, you know, we know Oregon in particular is the place where a lot of these bills, which are very obvious, like the only reason they could possibly exist is to shut down backyard farming. And the only reason you'd want to shut down backyard farming is because you want people to not be independent of you and you want to be able to control their food system. It's not very sophisticated. It's kind of obvious. There's no other reason for this. It's not like backyard gardens are a giant menace that everybody's clamoring to get rid of. Nobody cares except the government who wants you to be dependent on them. That's happening in Oregon, and that exact, and maybe the crew can find that video. I'd like to play it because you're right. It's one of those videos that we played when it first broke, and I haven't really thought about it since. But when you're talking about flock cameras outside of shooting ranges and drones flying over backyards to identify who's growing food, like, again, these programs are not just for fun. They aren't just doing it because they get a kick out of it. They're preparing things. They're establishing databases. They're gathering data, just like you send out spies to map the terrain before you invade with an army. I mean, this is the preparation for war, and it doesn't look like anything else. So I think that's a great point. And I don't know if the crew can find that, or if it's a server on the old, you know, at the old office, so it'll be hard to find. But if the crew can find that video of the guy, he was in Virginia. Drones were flying over his house. He did a Freedom of Information Act, and he found that the government had his backyard listed as being under surveillance because he was growing food. Crazy. And God only knows where this is happening and how widespread this type of data gathering is. Thank you so much for the call, Bill. I greatly appreciate it. Let's go to Chris in Virginia now, who I think agrees with us as to where all of this is going. Thanks for calling in, Chris. You're on the air.
Harrison, love you guys. My wife loves you too, listens every day. Been listening since 99.
Oh, wow.
So basically, I've been telling, like, last year, well, I've been saying on Facebook and everywhere that, you know, that there will be concentration camps for conservatives. And everyone's, hey, you're crazy. You just watch. What's going to happen? It's going to be fun. And, you know, I'm honestly going to laugh and enjoy watching a lot of these limp, complete cowards go to jail that didn't stand up and fight for us or fight for what's right. Or just took money or whatever they did.
Promoted flock, yeah.
When they get back in, they're going to go after, they might go after all the J6 people again.
Well, you know, they wouldn't be able to because of the Supreme Court, right? Except they're going to pack the Supreme Court. They're already talking about doing it. And maybe they couldn't get, you know, laws passed, but they'll just abolish the Senate. They're literally talking about abolishing the Senate. So I'm being sarcastic, but like, no, literally, they are literally planning. The Democrats are openly stating their intentions to imprison Trump supporters, imprison anybody who ever helped him, and they're planning on getting rid of the Senate, getting rid of the Supreme Court, getting rid of the Electoral College to facilitate that. You believe them when they say that. Now, it is going to be harder in America because we do still have guns, which is why they're trying to weaken us and basically do everything they can to soften us until the big attack. And ideally, they'd rather just like have the softening, the crushing, the squeezing of our prosperity and our, you know, freedom until it's just non-existent anymore, which is why we have to wake up and realize we got to change the trajectory. We have to actually intervene in this process, in this course of events, and go a different direction. Otherwise, it's inevitable where this ends up. And think about if they had flock cameras and, you know, laws in place for the next COVID attack. Like, think if they had it in the last lockdown, where they could literally say, you're not allowed to leave your home, and if you do, we will scoop you up. And we've cameras on every house and trackers on every car. I mean, you're going to be imprisoned in your home unless you feel like going out and fighting back. And at that point, it'll be good to remember the lines from Gulag Archipelago about loving freedom and loving freedom enough and being willing to fight for it and understanding the systematic process that these things go in. Like, it's not going to be a giant raid where it's like you and all your neighbors are suddenly under attack at once and you can all come together and build a fortification and fight back against the forces. It's going to be a knock on your door and they're going to politely ask you to come with them and you're just never going to be seen again. And no one's going to know. And it's going to be, oh, well, you know, the legal process is taking place and don't worry. And they're going to try to, and so your family doesn't even know, like, well, do we fight back or do we go along with the system? It's going to be like that sort of thing. And they'll take you out and then they'll take your neighbor out and then the neighbor down the street out. And it'll be up to us to actually look around and go, hey, we're under attack here. We have to fight back and resist this. But we're being trained to just go along with it for now. So, yeah, I mean, you look at the way things are going. You have to be training. You have to be preparing for that eventuality. You have to be just psychically, emotionally ready for that to be our future, because without a major change in direction, that's coming. Undoubtedly. With everything that we see. Well, what were you saying there, Chris? I could hear you, but I...
That's okay. Hey, I was just going to say one favor, if it's possible, that I would love to have that original music, the InfoWars music from where he had on his program in like 1999 and 2000, that you still play it now. It's the really old computer style sounding music.
I wonder if the crew knows exactly what you're talking about.
It's like the very first theme music he ever had.
Way back. I think you're talking about the helicopter show theme. Do you guys know what I'm talking about?
At the end of it, it goes, blah, 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 pow. It's like a pow or something like that at the end. It sounds really old fashioned, like computer music.
All right. I'm going to have the crew take that description and try to find something for the outro of the show. You let us know if they got it right. Well, thank you very much for the call, Chris. 1999. I don't know if we've ever had a caller that's been listening since 1999. I don't even think I started listening till 2001. This is around September 11th, but that's very impressive. Thank you so much for the call, Chris, an old InfoWars head. Let's go to Drew in Colorado now. He has an idea about what to do with the illegals. I've got some ideas too. Drew, what do you got?
I got a bit of a joke for you about it. It's not going to happen as a hypothetical. But first, I'd like to shout out the products. Alex, yourself, the crew, everybody there, you're doing a great job.
Thank you. Do you take the products, Drew?
Yes, sir.
What's your favorite?
I take the methylene blue every day along with the Shilajit. Let's see.
Gummies or capsule? How do you take your Shilajit?
Capsules, but I want to try the tincture.
Ah, the tincture. I haven't even tried the tincture. I do the gummies or the capsules. Both are good. Well, thank you very much for your support. Drew, we genuinely cannot do it without you, and I hope you're feeling all the effects of methylene blue. That is some very powerful stuff. And of course, you too, listening to my voice, can go to thealexjonesstore.com and purchase yourself one of our incredible products, and it will change your life. But obviously didn't call in to plug the products here, although we appreciate it and always like hearing that our products are helping people out. So thank you for that. But go ahead. You want to talk about what to do with the illegals here?
Yeah, so it's a bit of hypothetical, and it would probably take a bit of a tyrant. But we use the flock cameras, round them up, put them in the existing FEMA camps. We don't deport them. We keep them here. We treat them like the Somalis treated their slaves, or the Moors in Morocco. Castrate them. Use them to fix the country.
You know, I was with you till that last one. I don't think they need to be castrated, but up till then, I'm 100% with you. I get what you're saying, but
a bit of a taste of their own medicine. That's all.
Well, look, you know, if good for the goose is good for the gander, but you're right. And this has been my thing the entire time. I've said since the very beginning, the obvious thing to do to get rid of the illegal immigrants is you go, hey, we're going to give you a flight home totally free. You just come check in at one of our offices in any downtown area around and, you know, just tell us who you are, where you need to go. And we put you on a plane back to El Salvador. We also take your information, get your biometrics, take your fingerprints, make sure that you are not coming back, possibly in any form, but certainly not anytime soon. And we give you a free flight home, meals on the plane. Arrivederci, right? Or if you don't want to take our extremely generous offer of flying you back to your homeland where you are a citizen, then you will be arrested and you will be put to hard labor for 10 years. I think that just that alone, I think most people would just go home. I think they'd take the offer. I don't think they would risk. I mean, you see how upset they get just having to be sent back to their home countries. How much do you think they'd like being thrown into a supermax prison for 10 years stamping license plates? We could use their work. We could use their effort. We could use their, you know, contribution to our economy. They just aren't going to earn any money from it. They're going to dig ditches, and we need a lot of ditches. You know, they could. Here's what we do. You take the illegal immigrants, you make them fight fires in the Pacific Northwest. You have them clear out the forests of all of the detritus that causes wildfires to go crazy. How about we use one problem to solve another? I think we could do it. You use the illegal immigrants as construction force to build new housing for Americans. I think that's a brilliant idea. Or, here's another idea, we take over Haiti and send them all there. I really don't know why we don't. I actually think it is genuinely cruel to leave Haiti in the hands of a bunch of barbarous murderers. It's like not a situation that America would ever allow until the, you know, until it became offensive to, you know, oppose the wholesale destruction of a country. Like, this was 200 years ago, and what was happening in Haiti now was happening back then. It would be like an obligation for America to go in, provide them some leadership, provide them some organization, build some schools, help them build up. Like, what is the, you know, virtue of just being like, oh, the trash island where a man named Barbecue eats people. That's fine. That's a fine thing to be just off of our coast. Like, why are we allowing this? And why are we sending people? Why are we like trying to make deals with Estonia to send, or wherever, Timbuktu to send migrants to? Why don't we just send them to Haiti? Why don't we transform Haiti into one giant ICE facility and send them all there? I think that would solve a lot of problems all at once. That's just one humble suggestion for when I'm emperor and we solve all of these problems. It'll take 2 weeks. You give me 2 weeks, I can solve 90% of the problems in America, because 90% of the problems in America are literally funded by American taxpayers, and you can just cut that off. And there wouldn't be a problem. Or you could use our expansive, incredible military to actually fight here in America rather than for Israel. Is this it? Is this the theme song? Let's play it. Let's play it out. Where'd it go? It went away. That was it. Wasn't that it?
Broadcasting worldwide.
Yeah, that's it.
It's Alex Jones.
My fellow patriots, the first thing the globalists and the leftists do, they want to silence you, is go after your merchant accounts. Go after your business payment systems. It's that simple. They try to cut off your ability to even receive money or make payments. If you are a conservative business owner, Google is watching you. Meta, Facebook is watching you. Amazon, all of the major big tech is watching you. If you think for 1 second that they are not orchestrating and coordinating their efforts behind the scenes to take you offline and out of business and render you harmless to the system and the machine, you are wrong. The question is not if, it's when Stripe, Shopify, PayPal, Square, they're all part of the same big tech machine. Because once there's only one central system, they can bring in the universal credit score. The head of BlackRock, Larry Fink, was very clear. Once they have the system in place and they're close, they are going to shut down everybody that isn't part of their system, even people that aren't political. This is about total control. They've just got to get to the patriots that are opposing them to get to you. And FirstUnitedPayments.com stands directly in the tyrant's way. My fellow Americans, this is your call to action. Call or email First United Payments now and ask them how you can protect your business against the globalist predatory attacks and shutdowns today. And talk to a real human here in the good old U.S. of A. by calling toll-free 877-899-1313. You've got to be able to have your own business. You've got to be able to operate without these globalist sharks, this mafia shutting you down. And First United Payments is the tip of the spear. Proven warriors, ladies and gentlemen, in this fight. Online merchants, this is the place for you. Now visit FirstUnitedPayments.com right now.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.